Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street.
Hey, man.
Girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you. Now the girls would turn the color of an avocado when he'd drive down the street in his Eldorado. While he was only 5'3", girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. That's New York. Girls get called an asshole. This did not happen to Pablo Picasso. Why? He could walk down the street. Girls could not resist his stare. Subsequently, Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Nope. Not around here. Not like you.
Another cup of wine.
welcome everyone. We're hooked on a feeling for a movie tonight, aren't we? For a particular movie. Where is that Matthew when we need him?
He's on the way.
On the way.
He's on the way as we speak.
Well, let's uka chaka to me. Yes, that'll crank it up.
Hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. I'm hooked on a feeling.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
The BBC would like to apologize for the following announcement.
It's clobbering time.
To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power.
Yep. Well, there you go. Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Flash? How you doing today, bro?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, doing all right, man. We made it.
We're here.
And we're other things that rhyme with here, probably.
It sounded like real radio when it started, too.
It did, sort of, huh? Until I ruined it. But
it was very AM.
Oh, really? Well, I'm a big AM fan. I'm an AM junkie, really. I have a driving job, as you may know, and I don't know if you do that or not, and why would you?
Yeah.
But all day long, I've always been a talk radio junkie, but every now and then, once in a while, I like to hear a little bit of music, especially when it reminds me of a really cool movie, you know, that I think we're going to talk about tonight. Now, did you do your homework? In other words, go see it?
I actually not only did my homework, but I did extra credit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm caught up.
Wow, that's good. If only Mr. Matthew would come along, we'll just have to talk about it without him.
He is on the way. We had a weird internet thing going on, but he's got it fixed.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, this is welcome, everyone, to, excuse me, Globberin' Time, issue number 496, Guardians of the Galaxy. Review special with Matt Flash and myself. I am Groot. And one night we might just do a show, a Groot-themed show, where we just say the whole night, we always say, I am Groot.
Just 2 hours of I am Groot?
I am Groot. I mean, I just think we should
do that.
We've got to get a little voice modifier thingy to make it sound like Vin Diesel when we do it, of course.
Genuflect a little bit.
Indeed. I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. We'll mess around with it, yeah, for sure. and, of course, my good friend Flash was here with us tonight, everyone. By the way, this is Clobber Time 496. I always forget these things, by the way, but... Sorry, Decker. I'll get it in eventually, but I forget it first. Grenache Network, Blog Talk Radio's Clobbering Time. Also on the Grenache Network, Possum Hour Mondays and Fridays, 10 p.m. Eastern. Daddy G and the gang, I think, 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays. And my good buddy Flash here, who I was fortunate enough to meet both him and our buddy Matthew, his youngster. Because of Blog Talk Radio, they're two Blog Talk Radio colleagues, and every now and then, Flasher here makes a little bit of a return to Blog Talk Radio, and he will be doing so tomorrow night, and he will have it with his Brady special. Tell us about that and where people can hear that, Mr. Flash.
You can hear it right here on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Same place, same bat time, same bat channel. There's a convention coming up. It's been 40 years since the Brady Bunch left the air. Do you believe that?
Wow. 40.
40 years. 40 years. This is the 40th year, 40th anniversary of the year it left the air. Not the year premiere, but the year it left the air.
Right.
And there's a huge convention coming up on the 15th of August. It's 3-day Brady Palooza. also my good friends Susan Olson and Jerry Rochelle and Jennifer Runyon are going to join me tomorrow night, and we're gonna plug the hell out of it and just have some fun.
Fantastic! And how long will the show be on? What kind of air time?
It's an extended edition. It will be 90 minutes tomorrow night.
Nice. Yeah. We'll keep plugging in the Facebook there too, so I will remember and I will be there. Are you gonna have a chat room or no?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I shall be there in
the chat room. Chat room will be open. The phone lines will be open.
Oh, nice, everyone. Again, that is tomorrow night here on Blog Talk Radio. 10 p.m. Did you say 10 p.m. Eastern?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. Eastern. Now, how do they find it?
Because
it's tough to find things on Blog Talk Radio sometimes.
Actually, it's in its primitive stages at the moment because I'm lazy and irresponsible, but there is a Facebook page. Just look for Flashback with Carrie Fisher. There's not much on there yet, but
right,
there will be when I get around to it. So, I mean, God, it took me forever to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, so cut me some slack here, people.
I hear you, man, but you did see the movie that is our topic tonight, though. Huh?
I did. Oh, yeah, are you kidding?
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, look for that. I'll be posting it on Facebook and... So it's gonna be a lot of fun. This is Susan's third time on the show.
Oh.
Jerry's third time and Jennifer's second time. So I've got them conned pretty good. They keep coming back. They seem to think I know what I'm doing. So I'll just let them keep thinking I do.
Let them keep and never, you know, never blow your cover, man. Just
got them all fooled, man. Got them.
Hey,
I'm all fooled.
Unlike me, I have no one fooled because no one ever listens. But again, when no one ever listens, there's a certain freedom of that. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So we're going to be talking some Brady Bunch, and we're going to talk a little bit about Andy Davis, who just recently passed away, and who of course played Alice. And we're also going to talk to Jennifer about the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters.
Oh yes, she was. That's right. She was in Ghostbusters, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it a star?
Is it a star? Yeah, it is a star. You are a legitimate phenomenon. I was just going to say, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
Loved her. Oh, my God, yes. Very, very nice. Sweet,
Jennifer
lovely
also
lady.
Has a show. Jennifer has a show on Blog Talk Radio.
No kidding,
well.
Really?
Yeah,
what is that?
It's called Feast on This. It's all about different foods and chefs and it's a food oriented show, kind of Food Network on radio. But it's a very good show. I've listened to it, and that's Mondays. I think that's Mondays at 10 p.m.
Excellent. Well, hey everyone, go listen. And again, for those and if anyone who needs their memory refreshed a little bit, if you're an old timer like some of us here, like both of us here, I guess.
Yeah.
If you love Ghostbusters, and who doesn't? And if you don't. I don't know what's wrong with you. You don't need, again, she has a small part at the beginning of Ghostbusters. If you just need your memory jogged, and once your memory's jogged, you can't forget, you'll go, oh, yeah, because she was beautiful, and that was just it was a short scene. But any guy, again, I was, hell, I was 20 years old when that came out, right at 20. Loved the whole movie, but we'll never forget her because she was just beautiful.
Yeah.
So.
I actually got her to do that on the air.
Really?
When I had her on. Pulled it off. Got away with it. Got away with it. I was like, thank God she got it, or I'd have just laid a big piece right there.
Nice.
I got her to reenact the Is It a Star thing.
Oh, that's perfect. Is It a Star?
Yeah.
Well, I always wonder what it's like for people who have a really small role in something that is a movie that is such a classic that people, one of the most quotable, one of the most watched over and over again movies ever, and they may have had a small role in it, but everyone remembers them because of that, and they get a lot of people stopping them. Hey, you were in that. I don't know who you are, but you were in that. You know?
She also played Scott Baio's girlfriend in the first season of Charles in Charge.
I remember her, that as well. Not that I watched anything with Scott Baio in it, but I remember her. I watched for her. I know that. Nice. That's excellent then.
And her Brady connection is that she replaced Susan for a very Brady Christmas. Susan declined to be in that movie because she was on her honeymoon at the time. She was newlywed and she was on her honeymoon.
Ah.
So Jennifer stepped in. So
and she played.
So tomorrow night it's buy one Cindy, get one Cindy free.
Well, a lot of Cindy's going on there. Absolutely.
Two Cindy's.
Fantastic.
Two Cindy's and one fake Jan. So.
Yeah, I'm really trying to feel sorry for you, pal, but I just can't. Talking to three lovely ladies like that, no, it's not coming, man. I have to.
They're They're very, very, very attractive women.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, because I have to say that now because I don't want to be a creeper tomorrow night.
Yeah, don't say it tomorrow night. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you could. I mean,
yeah, but, you know.
Now, leave that to the chat room creepers.
Exactly.
And callers. Let the callers do it. Then you can.
And anybody who's interested in politics, like you said, you're very interested in talk radio, which is mostly
mm-hmm.
politics.
Yes.
Susan is a firebrand. She does not hold back on anything. She hosts a show on LA Talk Radio called Two Chicks Talking Politics.
Really?
If you ever want to hear some heated conversation. But intelligent conversations, not just screaming. It's pro con. Yeah, check that out.
Wow, I would listen to that. Nice, I like that. I like my chicks political. Well, do I? I don't know if I do or not. It just depends on which political.
Only if they agree with me.
Huh?
Only if they agree with me.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, we only like anyone. You know, here at Clobber Time, we only like people that agree with us. That's not true at all. If you've ever heard any of our shows, but yeah. And then therein lies the disappointment. Tonight, I don't know if we're going to get a whole lot of disagreeing going on.
Ah, I kind of doubt it.
Well, we're going to tip each other's hand here. Tell Matthew that we're waiting on, but we've vamped as much as possible. I think we're going to start talking about that. I tell you what we could do, since I know, you know, we could mention just for a second, since we never got a chance to talk about it, a little bit about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, if you want, until he gets here for the Guardians talk.
Sure.
You, thoughts?
Two of the best movies of the year so far. I saw them one weekend, so it was a good weekend. It was a very good weekend. It was a very good weekend at the movies.
Let me ask you this. Did you like it more, or did you like it better or as much as Rise?
Neither, because to me it was one story.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have one you like more than the other?
Not really. No, I really can't put one above the other one because – I rewatched Rise shortly before going to see Dawn, just to refresh my memory a little bit about it. And it's really just a continuation of that story.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And I mean, in the literal sense of the word, it's not just like, oh, well, let's just make a sequel. I know this like, you know, expands on Dawn.
But a lot of time passes between the two.
A lot of time. It's like 10 years or something.
10 years. Right.
Yeah, I think it's 10 years. But I'm just utterly like in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, even more so, just blown away by how realistic not only the apes looked, but how they acted, and this kind of
they've dropped out.
This life that's built for them. And it was the movie had a lot of heart. Yeah.
I liked it. I'm not sure. I think I'm similar in the sense that I'm not really, because a lot of people were just going nuts about how much better it was than Rise. I may prefer Rise just a tad to it, but I liked it both.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say better. I would say as good.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair enough.
They're two different animals. They really are.
Yeah,
I mean, they are two completely different movies.
And very much.
Yeah, the tone is just completely different in these movies.
They had as far as similarities to the old ones. They had some similarities. Yeah. Dawn was similar to sort of like an amalgam of conquest and battle.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to that. All my initial thoughts, most of them are kind of, it's been a while since I've seen it now, but I really did like it a lot. Where is it, Matthew? Man, I'm going to slap that boy. He'll get here. I'm just messing with him. If he's here now, I'll mess with him. I did like it though. I just, there were a couple things. Sometimes I think modern day filmmakers get a little bit too caught up in the, well, I'll give you an example. You didn't see Godzilla, did you?
No.
Godzilla was pretty good, but there were times when you felt like Christopher Nolan was directing it because it was very hold-back, kind of minimalist, kind of, it's a giant monster movie, and we're a little bit ashamed that it is, so we're not going to give you a whole lot. Now, Dawn doesn't do that visually, but there are a couple of times, like, I'm going, wait a minute, you guys are kind of on the fence about whether you want apes to talk or not. You were very inconsistent with it. At times they're sign languaging, and other times they're talking. Did I lose you? You still there, Kerry? Flash, you there, brother? I lost the flash. Flash.
That was weird.
Oh, you there?
Yes.
Did you hear me all that time?
Yeah, that was weird. It stopped after like a second.
Oh.
Yeah, you went completely.
Oh, really? Because I lost you for like 30 or 40 seconds there. I thought I was going to have to redo the That's weird, huh? What if we should redo the connection? You there? Everyone, we're having a bit of a technical difficulty. I'm going to redo the connection. And so while I'm redoing the connection, we'll have a little bit of Guardians music. Then we're going to get right into Guardians again. Time. You with me, bro? I've got a little cherry bomb going on there while I was trying to get your call back in there. So you back now? What is wrong with this goddamn Skype? Everyone, I am so sorry about these problems. I don't know what is going on in particular, other than Skype is fucked up. We'll see. Reconnect. Sorry, everyone, for the silence and everything. We're having big-time Skype difficulties with Carrie's Skype thingy there. Flash is having Skype issues. We're both having Skype issues. I'll tell you what, everyone, I'm going to try again to reconnect. I am so sorry about this until we get it hooked back so we can start talking Guardians. I'll play just a little bit of a song while I'm doing this. I'm so sorry, but I'll be right back as soon as I can get rehooked up.
Any ideas? Just one. Hit it. Good evening, all you gentlemen, mobsters, creeps, and crooks. Men in tights come after you, and still you're off the hook. For those who scare and terrorize, it's the dawn of a brand new day. You scum can simply call us the one and only birds of prey. Green Lantern has his special range.
Great John and Little Thing.
New Beatles' deeds are really swell.
But who will bring him out of his
chair? Flash is bold, they finish last.
Damn it.
Sometimes he's just too fast.
While all the boys can always say,
you hear me?
Yeah,
wow, maybe hooked up.
I noticed we're reversed on Skype.
We did what?
Like on my Skype screen, it's like things are reversed.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's working now.
It's working.
Everyone who has been hearing this and hearing it on the archive, I am so sorry.
That might be where Matthew is. I think there's some kind of weird thing going on with Skype tonight.
Could be. Like I say, mine it was working fine. Even when I lost you.
Yeah.
It was mine was still going through, but it's something to do with Skype. But I don't know. Well, we shall push on, I suppose. Anyway, I did like Dawn. I guess one of these days we should talk more about in depth on it. We've already started out. We've already talked to set it up for Guardians though. So
yes, we have.
I guess he's trying to get through.
Eight's good. There.
Eight's good. Dawn and the Planet of the Apes. Damn good.
Eight's damn good.
Yeah. No, I guess one of the things I was saying is it was a little bit minimalist in terms of trying to understand why they didn't just have apes talk as much as they could have at first. It was like they were trying to make you wait for it with all the sign language stuff. They weren't talking to each other much. Then they were very inconsistent with how the apes talked to each other. Sometimes they would talk, sometimes they would sign. And it was like, look, you guys, no one is going to be pissed off if you have talking apes. That's what they're here for. You don't have to be embarrassed that they're talking apes in this movie, okay? And they really get that sense from a lot of filmmakers now about minimalism, holding back. And first half of the movie, I'm like, I guess Caesar's the only one to be able to make any sense as far as apes talking. He's going to be portrayed as the only one that can really talk fluently. And then all of a sudden, toward the latter half of the movie, all the apes just started talking. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm like, what are you hiding? We get it. Apes can talk.
I don't remember what scene it was. I can't point it out, but I remember it stuck in my head as I'm watching the movie that Koba does. This doesn't explain the other apes, but it was almost like Koba didn't want to speak because that was a human thing. He acted like it. He acted like it disgusted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about the other apes.
Yeah, and again, it's just a minor. It was just kind of a minor complaint. Like I said, I was talking about Godzilla. The whole time you're watching Godzilla, you're like, "Look, people understand that they're here to see big monsters blowing shit up. You don't really, knocking shit down. You don't have to be coy,
right?
And it's the same thing with superheroes. Like, look, most people are here to see these superheroes do pretty outrageous things. You don't have to tone it down for us. In fact, we've had it toned down for 40 friggin' years. Turn it up." And so apes can talk. No one ever walked out of the other apes movies, in the old days, especially the original, going, "Oh, stupid apes talking." Stupid that apes can talk. Nobody cares if people want. They're fine with it. It worked for Rise because it was supposed to be kind of a big surprise type thingy.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. I guess I expected them to be past that at the beginning of Dawn. I really liked the movie though. I really did like it a lot. I thought the humans were kind of. I don't know. One of the things that surprised me, and we'll get to Guardians. I'm sorry, everyone, folks. I guess one of the things that kind of surprised me about Dawn, though, that I was really shocked by, you can tell we're not in the 70s anymore, dude, because they really did not vilify the humans the way I expected they would.
No, they didn't. No.
I was expecting that.
Yeah, there wasn't any malice. It was just survival. That was it.
Yeah, even Gary Oldman.
It's a matter of survival. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There were no real, there were no hideous human characters except,
Koba.
Yeah.
The villain, in other words, the apes were kind of the villains here. Now, of course, in fact, even Caesar was kind of a jerk for a while, then he redeemed him. But, yeah, I was expecting, again, in the 80s it was written humans bad, humans a bunch of rotten evil monsters, and the apes, the pretty nice little apes are all fine and good. That's what the old apes movies were really kind of all about.
Yeah.
I kind of got that impression a little bit with Rise, and I figured this one I'm going to be like, look, get used to it. Humans are going to be the dirtbags in this thing, and we're all going to be feeling sorry for the apes. I was a little surprised by that, in a good way.
I actually like that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
we humans aren't all that bad sometimes, I guess. You know.
Not really.
Without us, you couldn't enjoy that movie. So there you go.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, you and I prejudged the hell out of this thing two different ways.
Yes, we did.
At first, actually, I don't know, because I know you said, we'll say, give me your, what you initially, because we talked about it on the show a little bit before, what your first thoughts of when you were told, or when you heard, however you heard it, they're doing a movie about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Right. And I think that's everyone.
It.
Didn't we all do that?
That? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Me too.
And the second one was, what the hell are you thinking?
Yep, for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, for a really long time, a very long time. I was like, this is a huge mistake.
Yep.
What are you doing here? I was actually like, you know, of all the minor characters you could have picked to bring to the screen, you paid this. I was completely against it.
This iteration of the group has only been around since 2008. And no one who remembered the original group, who read, I mean, yeah, it's just mind-boggling. See, even when Iron Man came out in 2008, you didn't like it, I liked it, but let's forget about that for a second. Iron Man was not really all that big at that point, but he was certainly more noticeable than Guardians of the Galaxy. And
sure.
So Thor and Cap, same deal. They were, you know, mostly comic geeks knew who they were, but you could kind of see taking a chance on an Iron Man movie. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And that led to what that gave us with now 10 movies, right?
Right.
But you can kind of see that one. You're like, well,
I can understand it, yeah.
First of all, they got a bankable – I mean, actually, was he really that bankable at the time? People knew who he was, though, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Not bankable, but they knew who he was.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a box office draw. I wouldn't say his name.
Not then, sir.
No.
So, you know – You get that, and you go, and again, you're one of those that does not like any of those movies. I do like the first one, a good bit of have problems with it, but what happened with that movie was, well, it's Robert Downey Jr., and it's Iron Man. That's box office gold, baby. No one, I don't think anyone thought that. But it got good word of mouth, not just from comic book geeks, obviously, but a lot of, you know, Joe Blow, who didn't know what the hell Iron Man was, thought he was funny in it. They thought a mix of, you know, pretty good action. They liked the concept, because I thought they did a pretty decent job with the origin at the beginning of the movie. I don't know what you thought about that, but I thought as far as in the cave and all that kind of stuff, people were kind of connected to it. He was this rich guy with all the origin of Tony Stark in itself. You know, they respond to the snarky attitude he has, mixing the humor and stuff. And it you know, but if it didn't get good word of mouth and the publicity didn't take hold, then it wouldn't have done any. It would have been one of those forgettable straight-to-video type things, and there never would have been any other movies.
Right.
For some reason.
I'm in the minority here.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm totally
in the minority on the first Iron Man.
Yeah, because it did do well, and I understand. I mean, look, you know how many movies I'm in the minority on. So I'm with you there when it happened. I did, when I first saw it, I did like it. Again, at that time, there hadn't been one Marvel character I thought done decently at all on a movie screen, if I remember right.
Yeah. Now, see, in the first Iron Man, I'm with you on the origin and the escape from the cave. Once that's over, I check out.
I think
it's well done up to that point.
Do you think what appealed to people was his attitude and his humor and all that kind of stuff, even though it was not really all that Tony Starkish, really? But
I think so. I think so. I've expressed my opinion on the show before that I always thought Tony Stark was a boring character. I thought he was boring. I mean, I just never found the character interesting. That's why I never read Iron Man. I just never found him interesting. I think they felt the need to inject some personality into him. Unfortunately, that personality rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, and look, I actually, believe it or not, it will shock you. Even though I like Iron Man, I agree with that about Tony Stark. I liked, and there's the thing, I think Tony's kind of boring, but I liked Iron Man, and I do always like the concept of him being the spoiled brat, rich, you know, billionaire who I like the story of it, where he becomes, he gets a shrapnel in his heart in Vietnam back then, and, you know, he becomes altruistic, uses abilities, and then he joins the Avengers and forms the Avengers. It's funny. I always loved Iron Man, but I never really cared for Tony Stark much. Sounds silly, I guess. But I'm kind of the same way there. You really, really.
I know what you're saying.
You know.
Yeah. Iron Man's a very visual character.
He is, and again, well, let's face it. We're talking comic books here. Most of the time, the character's running around in his armor.
Yeah.
He was only Tony Stark in his own book, and you know, there was some actually a pretty good run there when David Michelinie and Bob Layton were doing it. But I don't know how. Sorry everyone. I got off on Iron Man, but my point on that was Iron Man was a bit of a gamble, and obviously they would not have tried Guardians of the Galaxy if they didn't have an established franchise. And I think if I'm remembering this right, and you can correct me on this, they didn't really announce Guardians till Avengers was a hit. Is that right?
I don't think so.
It's not right? Or...
I think you're right on that. No, I mean, I think you're right on that. Yeah.
I guess they figured, and you could kind of see this. I mean, they've had Iron Man's user successful. Incredible Hulk fairly, you know, did decent. Okay. Then Thor, Captain America, these other films, and the Iron Man 2 were just decent successes. They weren't absolute blockbusters. They were, you know, they weren't losing money. They were doing okay. They were building a fan base, which I thought was pretty smart. I don't think that, you know what? I'm not going to say it was smart on their part. A lot of it was happenstance. It was not a brilliant plan. They're just like, hey, these movies are doing okay. We're not going to rock the boat. So this was not genius on Marvel's part, Marvel Studios. They, you know, so you there?
Yeah.
It was kind of a, they got kind of lucked into it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were doing okay on them. I'm not saying they were smart to keep, you know, doing what they did, but Avengers comes along, and who knew it was going to be that big? I loved it. I know you didn't like it much. Matthew hated it. But it's, I mean, if you'd have told me I was going to really love an Avengers movie, I'd have been skeptical. If you'd have told me it was going to make $1 billion, I'd have said, I don't think so.
I would have never guessed $1 billion.
So I guess with that, they figured, look, we can take a gamble here with Guardians of the Galaxy. But I reacted the same exact way. I was like, they've got to be out of their mind. And I'm sticking to that on Sinister Six. That's just idiotic.
I'm with you on that one.
But I don't really, I mean, I don't get that. And again,
I don't get it either.
You know what? I was willing to be proven wrong on Guardians. I'm willing to be proven wrong on Sinister, but I just don't think it can possibly. I mean, because Guardians of the Galaxy, at least they're not bad guys. You know, a movie about six bad guys that don't mean crap unless Spider-Man's kicking their ass? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, all right, the Guardians, and I don't know when I did the turnaround, probably around the same time as you did. First of all, when I heard this and I saw which Guardians they were using, I'm like, well, that's not even the original group. I mean, this is some – I never even bothered with these new Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know much about them, didn't read their comics. So I'm – first I was like, you guys are crazy. Now I'm like, whatever. And then I did kind of got a little bit interested when the first trailer came out. When did you think you started kind of thinking differently?
The first trailer came out.
Really?
Yeah.
About a year ago now, huh?
Yeah. That's what got my interest going. Got my interest going. You know, this marketing team is brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant. I mean, they cut one great trailer after another and just got your excitement level up because – they didn't give anything away, but they kind of gave you an idea what this was going to be.
Yeah.
This is not going to be dark and somber and gritty, and this is just going to be something fun. I mean, they told you that in the trailers, flat out, put it in your face. This is just going to be fun. Just, you know what, it's a talking raccoon, deal with it.
Yeah, that's another thing. When I saw it was going to be James Gunn, I was like, well, you know, he is pretty good. I kind of like that guy. He did an underrated movie I saw called Slither, which was kind of a funny movie. And I'm not even into horror movies. It was kind of a comedy. But I was like, you know what? They're going to put a talking raccoon in there. Wow, that's pretty gutty, I got to admit. But, yeah, so and then when I see that trailer, I think I'm like, yeah, it was kind of like, well, it looks like they're going to try to be funny. And I guess if you're going to have a talking raccoon, you may as well be funny.
You might as well. You might as well go balls to the wall. And that was always kind of my problem with Rocket Raccoon. It just seemed too silly to fit into the mainstream Marvel universe, which was the same reaction I had to Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck, I loved the Howard the Duck book, but when he would cross over with Spider-Man, it kind of like, it's not really gelling. You know what I mean? You got this cartoony-looking duck next to Spider-Man, and it's like, he doesn't really fit in. And to me, that was always my problem with Rocket. Like, he just doesn't, I don't know. I can only take our talking raccoon so serious. You know, I can only take it so serious.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? But I just can't do it.
And the thing is, the origin itself is pretty, is not so bad, but you don't know that. When you see him, you just think, Jesus Christ.
It's a talking raccoon. Yeah.
You don't realize that he's a genetic, he didn't even know what a cut raccoon is.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I did not know that.
It must have been a long time since I've read anything with him in it. But that was at least, when you see that, you're like, okay, well, that makes kind of sense. He's genetically altered. He's a sentient being that happens to be in a raccoon's body for some reason, and it's pretty silly, but... Yeah, and again, but in order for that to work, it had to be funny on some level.
I think so.
No one would have liked him if he was deadly serious. And
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. It's like we said, it's a talking raccoon. Run with it. Run with the absurdity of it all.
Yes.
Run with the absurdity of a talking raccoon who runs around with a tree.
A tree. Yeah, talking tree, who, by the way, was also an old Marvel villain, and they just later changed Groot into a good guy. And
I did not know that.
Jack Kirby created him, and he was from the old Monster comics, and he would even fought the Hulk and things like that, and he was an alien.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, the Groot, and he didn't say, I am Groot. He said he would just say Groot a lot, but then the Groot from Planet X or some kind of horseshit like that, but... He was later, they just took him and just changed him into a member of the Guardians for that new series.
I did not know that.
Weird stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Now, again, you're like, wow, you're looking at this going, oh, my goodness. They're doing Guardians of the Galaxy. It looks funny. And by the way, I've actually had some fanboys, a fanboy friend of mine, everyone and this was relatively recently, after you and I and Matt would say something like, it looks kind of funny. I don't know. Something about it might be pretty good. But there were still some of them going, well, I just think it looks too silly. They should, trying to make a joke out of it. It's too jokey. I'm like, oh, okay, really? But it's still got a talking raccoon in it. I mean, you may have a more valid case if it didn't have a talking raccoon.
Exactly.
But if you're going to put Rocket in there, you better make it funny. I don't see any other way to do it with him.
We have to remember, you and I have discussed this, they're not making these movies for the comic book fans anymore.
No.
They're not doing it. They're making it for a mainstream audience. And if you're asking a mainstream audience to accept a serious, deadly serious, Man of Steel kind of thing, it's not going to work.
Not for this
group.
It's not
going to work. They're going to get lapped off the screen.
I wish they'd have got lapped on the screen off the screen for Man of Stool, but it's been them. Well, they did. Now they got thrown up, in my case. But, yeah, I'm hearing you. They Superman a downer, and, again, it made money, just not what their expectations were, so they're sticking Batman. And, by the way, did you hear the latest review? Remember when we were talking about the scheduling? Did you see that DC backed down and they've changed the schedule?
No.
Warner pushed it to May.
No, I did not see. Man, I called that one wrong.
Like me too, but again, who knows? It'll stay that way. I read that somewhere. I did, I don't know.
So they moved it. They moved it up.
Right, they moved it up.
Okay. They want that. They want that.
Now that might change.
They want to fire the first shot.
Yeah, and I read that online anyway the other day, and I was like, wow, I would not have expected. I don't think it's anything to do with Captain America, though.
Probably not.
No. But, by the way, Almighty Sports Show, good to see you, buddy. And I am Groot. So I just wanted to put that out. Wait a minute. I am Groot. Could never say it as well as Vin, huh? He did say that. He did a great job on his lines. He probably practiced them a lot. So I'm seeing this and I'm going, wow, it's just kind of weird. It looks funny, but I guess up until the last month or two, I didn't start really getting excited about it. Then I was like, yeah, what the hell? If they can make this fun, I mean, again, I don't have a dog in the race. I never was big on this comic. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it could be fun. But I tell you what I didn't expect. We talked about this building up. I was like, you know what? Even if you and me and Matt and a few of my friends would be like, hey, it's goofy fun. That's what's great. I thought the ultra fanboy was going to be bitching about this. And since it's come out, I haven't seen any of that. Maybe there is some. But whatever happened, nothing affects box office because this sucker was huge this past weekend.
Caught everyone off guard. They used the word stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was stunning.
Yeah. They were projecting 65 to 70.
What is it, like 90-something?
95.
And 190-something worldwide or something crazy
yeah,
like that?
It's doing gangbusters.
Yeah. And then
this late in the summer season, too.
August records. It's incredible.
August is when things start to die.
But I'll tell you this, though. Part of that is this is a different, fresh idea combined with the fact that there's been nothing this year that has been grabbing anybody.
Not really.
Other than Captain America, which did well, but that was a long time ago now.
Right.
You know, no movie stays at the box office a long time. Nothing else is really, really exciting anyone.
Box office is down this year.
It's big time down. And there's, yes. And by the way, they benefit from that. They didn't know that that would be the case. How do you ever know? But that helped Guardians a lot. And for, like that Turtles crap comes out next week.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Guardians will beat it. It'll destroy it, in fact. I'm thinking
it would not surprise me.
It would not surprise me if Guardians has another strong weekend, even with the stupid Michael Bay Turtles coming out. It would not surprise me. Now, in the film, sometimes you can sort of like a movie and find out, you know what, this character stole the show, or this particular bit of it is what stands out for me. Like Avengers, look, I admit the thing that gets, I love seeing superheroes actually fighting for a change, and they're acting like superheroes and them fighting, you know, even though they were generic Jatari. So, I mean, I got a lot of good superhero scenes, but there wasn't really, other than some good scenes with the characters and Avengers did and some good fights, there's really not much it has. This one, none of these characters are Captain America or Iron Man or Thor or Hulk. So I'm like, you know, you better do something because, you know, I like Star-Lord okay from some old comics here and there. But, I mean, this guy doesn't have anything like the one in the comics. Gamora, she's not a huge character. She's popped up here and there. She's in the new group. But Groot, you know, I already told you about him. He's, you know, and Rocket, come on, you guys are going to have to really make me like Rocket. And Drax, he's really nothing like the old Drax. And again, none of them are first stringers.
Oh, no.
None of them are. None of them have, let me see here. Star-Lord is the only one that's had his own series a couple of times. Rocket had a mini series at one point. So, you know, in other words, None of these guys were well known. Let's put it like that. So
there's no Spider-Man in the bunch.
There's no Spidey. There's no Cap. There's not even a Hulk, really, or anything. So you really got to sell it. You've really got to sell me on, you know, why do I need to go see this movie? And when I walk out, what am I going to take away from it? One or two things. Man, I got a list of things I loved in it.
Right.
And once you start out, give me some. I mean, if you could even nail down what you liked most about it.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say how much I love this movie. I mean, it's just like, do you know what it reminded me of? And I'm not comparing it in importance or impact or anything like that. It reminded me of Star Wars.
And that's kind of what they were going for, but yes, me too.
It really did remind me of Star Wars in 77. It really reminded me a lot of Star Wars. Just a lot of fun. It looked great. I mean, it looked like they spent $1 billion on this movie, and then you find out it's $170 million, which is a lot of money to us, but, you know, not necessarily for the studio.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, it looked like $250 million movie to me. Everything felt real. Everything felt believable. The humor worked, as opposed to a lot of movies, you know, it's just, you just groan through half of the jokes, like this Turtle movie coming up. You know, they try and drop funny bits in the trailer, and I'm like, oh my God, this is embarrassingly bad. But everything was really funny in it. It was really funny. And it's not all jokey. There's a seriousness to the movie.
Yeah.
And damn it, if they did not pull it off and make Rocket a sympathetic character, when he's drunk,
yeah,
and he gets all belligerent. He's very sensitive about what he is. He's a very insecure character. He thinks that he's the butt of everyone's joke, and he takes great offense at that. And he feels there's more to him than what you're seeing. And of course there is, but he's a joke. He's a joke to everyone around him. He's Berman. He's a raccoon. He's a rat. He's a whatever. And he's just this great kind of wounded character, you know, who wants the world to recognize that he's not a joke. And he has this gruff exterior to kind of hide. Look at this pain. I can't believe I'm going into such zero detail about a raccoon, but, you know, the character carries around a lot of pain because people just don't take him seriously. You know, and he wants to be somebody. He wants to be somebody. He wants to be better than he is. You get that feeling that he wants to be better than he is.
Well, he's not a raccoon.
Nobody gives that to him.
You know what's great about that? He's not a raccoon. What you said is absolutely extraordinary because, yes, I was doing injustice by saying if you're going to have a raccoon, be funny. And I do still stand by that.
Yeah.
And yet they gave depth and heart to him and all of the characters.
They did. All these characters are enjoyable. There wasn't one character who annoyed me. You know what?
Me either.
I was rooting for all of them. I was rooting for every single one of them because they did such a great job establishing them. I thought the Nova Corps was entertaining. It could have been either a big giant joke, you know, it could have been Keystone Cops in space, or, you know, Gestapo. And I think they played it exactly right with them. That was a nice surprise for me too.
You know what? That was my one fanboy teensy-weensy gripe. Was what was the Nova Corps? Not that they weren't handled well, but they were just a bunch of space cops. I mean, they didn't have Nova powers. They were, I mean, again, they changed some stuff.
Yeah.
And again, that's a fanboy gripe. I'm admitting it.
No.
I would just imagine how cool it would have been instead of them in spaceships, them flying up there fighting the Kree. But I guess I don't know if the budget would have been. But look, it was fine. I'm just saying that was a little bit. They didn't have Nova powers in this one, but that's. Yeah, I guess I'm. It's all right. But you're right. Even though,
see, once again, that comes back to not a dog in this fight because I never really, you know, paid much attention to the Nova Corps, so I knew who they were. But yeah,
I love the old Rich Rider Nova. But all I'm saying is, since it was the Nova Corps, I'm like, how cool would it be if they actually had the Nova powers? But they were on Xandar. But no, look, I'm totally admitting that's a fanboy gripe that I've not had that doesn't affect me at all. You know, but when you're a fanboy, you're going to fucking do shit like that.
Right. But, you know, like I said, I loved all the characters. I loved them all. I loved Star-Lord because that's the Tony Stark I want. You know what I mean? Someone is funny but not annoying. Downey Stark is. I'm just like, could somebody please shut him the hell up? You know, he's like that. He's like Stark. Downey Stark is that annoying 10-year-old kid to me, who just won't shut the hell up. And you're like, where is this kid's parents? Somebody please get this kid out of here. This kid's driving me nuts. Downey Stark is that smart-ass kid that sits in a movie and ruins it for everybody. Starky remarks that aren't funny. And you have to go get the manager or the usher to get out of it. But I thought he was funny. I thought Drax was funny. I mean, God's sakes, they even gave personality to a tree.
Groot
had a personality.
Groot was a very sympathetic character.
He was. He was very sympathetic. He was so sympathetic that women and girls in the audience, I honestly think that was their favorite character. You could hear them reacting the most. You know, you would hear a lot of, aw, like a puppy.
Right.
Aw. And then I heard crying. And it's like, oh, geez, this really worked. You took a character that only says three words and you made him work.
It was a testament to what a good director James Gunn is.
It is. It is. You know what? I don't think I've ever seen anything this guy did before, but I'm going to check out some other stuff.
I tell you what, if you go on YouTube sometime and pull up and do a search for PG porn, he's got all these little short videos he did that are friggin' hilarious. PG porn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out. I'm going to have to check it out.
He did a movie called Super a couple of years ago that I did not see.
Maybe a blooper.
You there?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I didn't know he did that.
Yeah. Super? Yeah.
Yeah. Saw bits and pieces of it.
Weather was pretty good. Let me give you one of the most revolutionary things about this movie for me. A lot of people may not be thinking about that. All the stuff you and I have said, I'm sure everyone else has thought of, as far as what a risk it was, we talked about that. How way out on a limb they went getting this thing. I'll give you one that, I don't know, you probably thought of this. This is one of the biggest ones, I mean, in terms of the biggest risks taken by this film, and I'll tell you what it is. Other than the first couple of seconds, no Earth. Let me repeat this, everyone. Earth is in it for 3 minutes or whatever it was at the beginning, 5 minutes, and then they leave the fuck of Earth gone. And they're Xandar and all over the planet. And I'll tell you why that's significant. There's been kind of a big thing going on in Hollywood movies recently. My good buddy, retroblasting buddy Michaels told me about this. Every film you could ever think of over the past few years, other than the prequels, even science fiction films that take place in space, have to involve the planet Earth one way or the other. Earth. And I'm not talking about filmmakers just happening to do that, by the way. A lot of movies and scripts that have been shot, talked about, that take place, you know, in space with nothing to do with Earth, don't get made. Earth-centric movies, and I'm not making it up. This is going on in Hollywood recently. Look at the two shitty George Abrams Star Trek grappers. Where were they? They're all over Earth, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so this has been kind of going on, and it's kind of funny. I mean, again, all of these Phase 1 movies, you know, or Avengers and all of them, they all take place on Earth. And yet they let this guy go, you know, look, you're going to leave. We're going to be on Earth for a few minutes at the beginning, and then we're gone. And that is, again, if you look at any movie that's been made, name me one that hasn't been Earth. It was a time when it didn't matter. Did I lose you? Don't tell me. Skype dropped again. Wow. What is it with this damn Skype, dude? I swear. Skype again? Let's see. Let me see here. Sorry, everyone. All right, everyone. I'm going to have to try to get Flash back on here. Do not understand why this thing would... Well, what am I saying? Of course I understand why this thing will be screwing up on me tonight. You there, man?
Yeah, I am.
Well, I was about to try to hang up and get you back on. You took all that time?
I think it's Skype. It's cutting in and out. And
it's definitely Skype.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of static going on.
It made the hang-up sound, so I was about to try to call you back on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that, you know, the fact that they just didn't involve Earth and stuff was very refreshing for me. And again, that's been an issue in Hollywood. So that was another chance this movie took.
I'm with you on that.
But you know what, dude? You are so right. Nothing would have mattered here if the characters, and that's a key we have to stress, the characters, plural, if all of them weren't very appealing. Because there have been a lot of movies that, I'm sure that you've liked and that I've liked, where you go, yeah, I liked it, but so-and-so was a pain in the ass. I mean, I liked everybody else, but this guy or that guy or this chick, they were annoying.
Right.
I liked everyone in this film.
I did. Yes, I really did. And you know, you're 100% right on the Earth thing, because not only does it not take place on Earth with him running around in jeans and a T-shirt like the Thor movies, Ronan doesn't give a damn about Earth.
No.
It's the galaxy, the universe, Earth. Who cares about Earth? You know what I mean? The threat is not we're going to destroy Earth.
But look, the best thing in the first Thor movie was in Asgard. When it got to Earth, the movie just stops.
It tanks. Yeah, it just screeches to a halt.
No,
and, you know, I tell you, and you may or may not agree with me on this, this felt pure 100% comic book.
Yes.
Nobody's running around in jeans and a T-shirt. You know what I mean? And, it's just sci-fi comic book, and that's it, and it's unapologetic about it.
It was otherworldly. It was comic bookish.
Yeah, take it or leave it.
And the one element that was Earth about it somehow made it shouldn't have worked whatsoever. But the one Earth element in the movie shouldn't have worked. Should have been ludicrous. Should have laughed at it. We should have laughed at a theater. Worked beautifully for some reason. And that was the music.
Talking about the score or the song.
No, the score was good, obviously, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Star-Lord's tapes.
Best soundtrack since, for me, for my personal taste, best soundtrack for me since Goodfellas.
It is. It's great. Now, the score was good, but obviously, you know what I'm talking about.
The score is very good. Yeah, the score is very good.
But I'm talking about all the crazy 70s music.
And what I loved is they didn't just use that music for the trailers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's all throughout the movie.
Right. Right. And that's what I thought they were going to do, too.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And from the credit sequence where he puts his headphones on and he's just dancing around kicking these rats and using one as a microphone, that sets the tone for the movie. This is what it's going to be. We're telling you right now this is what it's going to be. It's just going to be fun. And it was.
Yeah.
And the music helps. Yeah, the music is actually a big part of it. And the music actually, like the songs when they play at certain times, actually fits the story. They're not just randomly thrown in.
No, they really work.
Yeah, there's a reason that the songs are placed where they are in the movie.
Well, again, and that's the key. It's not just – it's all where they are in the movie and also the fact that it fits the character of Peter Quill.
Yeah.
You know, Star-Lord, Peter Quill, these songs are, coming from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
His mother's love.
It's not just, oh, hey, I'm some, hipster that that was one of my minor quibbles with First Contact. Was Zefram Cochran with his old music. It never felt real to me. It felt kind of like, what kind of gimmick are we going to give Zefram Cochran? And I love First Contact. He listens to old music, and, it just didn't feel legit to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not going to attempt to explain it. It was just my personal opinion. It just didn't feel legit. It just felt like, oh, let's just give him some weird little quirk. Like they do with the captains in each show. You ever noticed ever since the original series, every captain has to have their little quirk. With Picard, it's tea. And it's always something to drink. You know what I mean? Picard, it's tea. Well, with Sisko, it was baseball.
With Perks, it was women. So.
Yeah, with Sisko, it's baseball. With Archer, it's iced tea.
And,
with Janeway, it's coffee. And I'm like, really? It just feels like, we'll just throw this in just to, give them a little quirk. That's what I thought maybe was Zefram Cochran. But there's a reason in this movie that he listens to that music. It's a connection with his mother.
Yeah.
It's not I'm just some cool hipster who just listens to music. No, it was something that kept him connected to his mother that he screwed up the last minutes. The last minutes he had with her, he screwed him up. And he's just trying to remember his mother the way she was and to help him get through what he needs to get through. I thought it was great.
That was just a really nice touch.
Yeah.
Really nice touch. Tell Matthew we're guardians and without him. He has to get ashamed of himself.
I'm thinking he's got some Skype is being a real
bitch. It is being friggers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll just have to be without us and we'll just have to talk. We'll push on without him, but we'll miss him.
Yeah. Oh, because he'd be raving on, man, because he said tonight was going to be Coughlin time.
Big time Coughlin time. We're gonna, you know, if he's able to get in, he's, just tell him we'll let him go. We'll let him coddle away. We've still got plenty of time here. I'll tell you some of the other things to me that surprised me about, again, the Star Wars feel thing that you're talking about is spot on. And I'm not saying they went out of their way I don't think they were really trying to go out of their way to do that, but
no.
I think you could kind of tell that at some point he was going to look. This is in space. It's going to be It's going to be the Marvel universe that exists out there away from Earth because they're on Xandar, and we're not going to try. They don't try to rip off Star Wars in terms of story or anything like that.
No.
They kept it Marvel. They kept it comic book. But I just think they figured, look, it can have a Star Wars feel.
It feels like Star Wars.
Yep, absolutely.
Before Uncle George went crazy.
Yes, way before that, when there still was a Star Wars.
Yeah.
I didn't even mind – Michael Rooker's great as Yondu. I don't even mind – you know, that's a redo of a character, though.
Yondu?
Well, yeah, Yondu played by Michael Rooker.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, even I don't even have a fanboy problem with what they did with it. I haven't seen anyone bitch about it either, but Yondu is, of course, a member of the original Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was an archer, and he was a good guy, and he was from 1,000 years in the future. So he wasn't, you know, unless they've done something new in the regular comics now, and I don't think so. I think that if someone said this was done just for the movie, him as one of the Ravagers, in fact, the leader of the Ravagers, is new, but I think it was just kind of their way of doing, look, we don't have the old group, but we'll do a little nod to them by having a Yondu-type character.
Okay.
So I thought that was kind of cool. No problem with it. Just pointing it out.
I went in, like we said before, completely blind. I didn't know shit about shit. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know a thing about the Guardians. And I think that's why I had such a great time, because none of this felt familiar to me. It all felt new. I know it's not new. I know they weren't created for this movie, but for me it felt like it, because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, and that group, again, has really only been around since, again, like 2008 or so, although the characters, some of them, they all existed in other comics before that. So,
yeah.
We're not talking Superman or anything like that. We're talking about characters that I don't want to use the term disposable. I don't mean it that way in a bad way. Look, the original Guardians, I was never like a super big fan of them. They were okay. Nothing wrong with them. I started reading some of their old stories. They're going to have a hardcover to reprint some of their first appearances. Again,
I would tell you – oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I will tell you another thing that I really like about this. I think they've created a very family-friendly franchise. You don't have to worry about taking your kids to this movie.
And that's rare.
That's very rare. It's extremely rare. Yeah, you don't have to worry about taking your kids to this. Only a couple of words here and there, you know. But,
I love that about it, by the way.
I did, too.
You can't take kids, you know, little kids to see Man of Steel or Batfleck super whatever face he's going to be called, but I could take kids to see this one, and I want to be able to take kids to see superhero movies.
Yeah.
Call me old-fashioned, but, you know,
right.
Let's face it, they were created for kids, and they've been taken away from kids. And we're lucky because we got to start out when we were kids reading superheroes and seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
They've been taken away from kids, and kids don't care anymore. You could bring even very young kids to this one, and they can have a good time. Like you say, there's a little rough stuff here and there, but nothing bad at all.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a little bit of a surprise for me.
I'm a little surprised, too.
A little surprised by that.
I'm a little surprised, too. I mean, quite honestly, this is not the first one to come down the pike that's family-friendly. I think all the Marvel movies have been pretty family-friendly. You know, I'm not saying this is the first one to ever do it. I mean, you know, you can let your kids watch The Avengers. You can let your kids watch,
right.
The Avengers. It's not a big deal. I mean, they've all been pretty family-friendly. But this one just felt like family-friendly in a different way, that my nephew, when he watches The Avengers, he watches The Avengers for about a half an hour. he fast forwards through most of it.
Yeah.
He's just there to see the superhero stuff.
Me too.
And this is constantly superheroes on the screen. Constantly some fantasy character on the screen. From beginning to end, it's some kind of fantasy element on the screen. And I think it'll hold a kid's attention. Like, I've worked in the theater business for a long time, and people bring their kids to these superhero movies, and the kids are bored out of their minds because you've got 20 minutes of superhero and an hour and a half of, you know, just chatting in their clothes. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Which is kids,
you know, we love Peter Parker, but kids aren't there to see Peter Parker. You know what I mean? They're there to see the costume. They're there to see Spider-Man.
I've been saying forever, this is probably, again, at least in Avengers, they were in the costumes more than in most movies, but look, my big problem with, I agree with you, I kind of agree with you on some of the things about Downey Jr. and Iron Man, but I still kind of liked it, and they went overboard with the sense of humor. But another problem with that first movie is, the Iron Man scenes are cool and everything, but you get, it's just, it should be called Tony Stark. And if you think that should be called Tony Stark, you should see three. Stark
right
here. Again, I kind of like the Incredible Hulk movie. The Hulk scenes are fun.
I did too.
I don't really need to see, again, the other stuff's okay, but they don't, you never really get everything you want.
No.
Captain America kind of goes a little bit, now Captain America's a little bit different. Winter Soldier does, First Avenger tells the origin beautifully. Then eventually you do get to see a lot of Cap. I think that's one that mm-hmm. – and when he's Steve Rogers, since it's not really a secret identity, you're still kind of seeing Cap.
Yeah.
And Winter Soldier even more so. But I'm with you. So, a lot of these other ones, again, Thor, what happens? The first part of the Thor movie, he's Thor and he's on Asgard and stuff. In the second half, it's a silly love story and he loses his Thor power. At least in Dark World, he's stored the whole time, and there's Earth crap in it, and the Earth crap's pretty boring unless he's there fighting something.
Yeah.
So, I want more, and they always leave me wanting more. This one, it's, again, and that's that non-Earth factor working for it. You're never on Earth, so you don't have to watch. You know, again, if you're watching the Avengers and you're enjoying it, and then you see them just standing around in normal clothes, you're like, it must be 8 years old because I don't want to just hurry up and punch something.
Hurry up.
Yeah,
exactly.
However, Guardians, you never say that.
No.
I didn't say it.
No, because it's there's always some fantasy element on the screen. And that's what I'm there to see. I wanted to go have fun, and I had fun.
You were taken away from Earth, and that's what we need.
Exactly.
Get me the fuck off of this planet, please, for a movie.
You know, I never realized just how much I wanted fun until I saw this movie. Because I still really like Man of Steel.
I understand.
But
I'm going to change you one day. I'm going to definitely put a study out the
more, the more times I watch it, I'm like, this just isn't very fun.
Well, my only thing about that is, I think you and I, when we talked about Man of Steel, I said you can do this with Superman or any other character in certain contexts or comics, but in a movie, when you're spending that much money, I want to have fun. And by the way, I got a revelation for you. I keep calling it Batman molests Superman and balance kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell Matt this because I wanted you both to be sitting down. As much as I hate Zack Snyder and as much as I'm going to have fun ragging on this thing, you know, I'm going to make an effort with your help and his help over the next couple of years to try to at least see if I can try to put Man of Rubber behind me and try to find some way to enjoy this one. I don't think it can happen, but I'm going to try. Because I would want Batman and Superman meeting to be fun. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I would really want it to be fun. I would want them to go, look, okay, should I let bygones be bygones? And as much as I hate Man of Rubber because Superman's supposed to be fun and he wasn't, will they make it fun this time? I don't think so. I don't think Snyder has it in him and Goyer doesn't. And a lot of people don't care about that. But Guardians shows me.
No.
Let me tell you something. This movie is the ultimate fuck you, DC. This movie's like, DC, why don't you try this once? Your characters can be fun. You can be exciting. You can be dark. You can be all these things, but keep the fun of it. Yeah, I saw that, Rick, by the way. Did you see that new thing, Supergirl, now in there?
And
Batman and Superman.
Who's not in this now?
That's every week they got a new announcement. They can't – look, they're about to piss on themselves because they don't have a Justice League franchise up and running already. It's a joke, really. Supergirl, why – What? But yeah, man.
It's probably just a cameo.
And it's, why don't they just call it Batman and Superman stand around watching cameos? Really? I mean, if I were those two guys, I'd be a little insulted. Like, look, who else? You got anybody else you want to stick in this movie? Don't mind us. We're just the two biggest characters in DC Comics history.
Yeah, don't mind us.
Yeah, we're just the two biggest characters in DC Comics history. We need cameos. Sure. Guardians of the Galaxy didn't need all that cameo shit.
Oh. My God. You said cameo.
Uh-oh. What happened?
The end.
In fact, yeah, I was just about to talk to you about some of those references and stuff.
I'm talking about the post-credit sequence.
I know, I am.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, did you know I had that spoiled for me?
I did, too.
And I
think everybody's had it spoiled.
I'm not a spoiler weenie, but I was kind of a little annoyed by that. What happened? How did you get it?
Yeah. I would have liked for it to have been a surprise.
How did you get it spoiled for you?
I don't remember. I think it was actually a news story.
Oh, shit. Well, a guy at work blurted it out at me, the guy I'm always talking to about comics. And
interesting. Uh-huh.
He's walking by, and he's just, yeah, did you hear Howard the Duck's in there? I heard it after the credits. And, I always consider myself to be impervious to spoilers.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah. And I get mad at him. I was like, that motherfucker. I was going to see it the next night, I think. It was like, well, fuck, I would just soon watch that and see it happen if it's true. No, I'm not mad, man. Just a slight annoyance, you know?
I would have liked to have been surprised.
Well, something like that.
I would have liked to have had a holy shit moment.
But you know what's funny about that scene, though?
Yeah.
That not only did it have Howard the Duck, which was... by the way, the character of the Collector, if I'm not mistaken, was also created by Steve Gerber, who created Howard the Duck, which was kind of funny. So then to be in the same scene, they had Cosmos, the dog, that... weird-looking dog with the...
I wonder what was up with that dog. I didn't know anything about the dog.
He's a Marvel... he's called Cosmos.
I didn't know that.
But you know what I'm hearing about that scene that's interesting that I did not see? Did you tell me if you saw this? Did you see anything? And I guess we're also wrapped up in Howard the Duck at that point. You don't see, but someone said they saw a cocoon being burst out of in the background.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
Well, Almighty, did you see that, by the way? Let me know if you did, because I'm going back this weekend to take my daughter and see it. But if that's the case, see, the Collector has all this crap in his thing. The significance of that, as soon as someone said the word cocoon, that's all I needed. I said, Adam Warlock. And he's, of course, you know, he's the one who uses the Soul Gem, one of the Infinity Stones, which are going to be in all these movies.
Uh-huh.
He uses the Soul Gem that's attached to his forehead. So I'm like, wait a minute. So the Guardian's trash, the Collector's place, and then that releases Adam Warlock. That's pretty funny.
Gee, you know, I never realized just how ignorant I am about the cosmic aspects of the Marvel Universe. I didn't know any of this.
Well, I didn't hear if this was true. I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going, well, it sounds like something they would do, though.
Yeah.
Look, there are some other ones. They went to that place they went to, Nowhere, that's shaped like a head, that, you know.
Uh-huh.
That looked like a Kirby collage. The old, for those who do not know, Jack Kirby used to do these weird, big open page, two-page spreads where they used weird photographic techniques to make a really otherworldly space looking. I mean, if you don't know what a Kirby collage is, I'll show you and you'll know what I mean. That looked like a Kirby collage. It was beautiful and it was weird. And there were a couple of scenes when Ronan, I was very shocked at Ronan the Accuser being used. I liked the Kree. That was really cool that they used him. Old Fantastic Four villain who, of course, appeared in a lot of other stuff, comics-wise. Weird, that actor that they got for him. He did a good job. But there was a scene where they showed a bunch of different, a couple of bits and pieces. They showed, like, the Eternals and the Celestials. They showed the Watchers. Did you see the Watchers?
No, I didn't. I'm going to have to go again.
I want to go again. I'm going again this weekend. I can't wait. But they were talking to Thanos at one point. There was even one shot. Almighty, did you see the shot where, what's that, Guardians of the Galaxy? Oh, confirms Adam Warlock. That is Alex. Look, there you go. Well, you can tell you we got good buddies in the chat room. Wow. Okay, this was not in the... Oh, this was in a different scene. Oh, it was an earlier scene with the Collector. There's a cocoon, and he could, James Gunn has confirmed that's Adam Warlock's cocoon. That is fucking awesome. Oh, shit, I love shit like that. That's fantastic. I love it. Thanks, thanks, Greatest American Hero, Rick. Did you guys happen to see one of these scenes when they were about to fight the Kree in the big final battle on this board, the Kree spaceship? Some Kree had a big weird bubble thing above his head that looked like the Supremors, the Kree Great Intelligence?
No.
This is just
gotta go again.
You definitely gotta go again.
Yeah. There's so much going on, it's like, you know, it's, yeah, you really...
Dude, that's the thing, it's got all of these...
It really needs multiple viewings.
Right, it's got all kinds of great references. I mean, this thing is filled, like all the Marvel movies, but this thing is filled with really arcane Marvel, you know, references to really, you know, really just weird stuff. And what did you think of Thanos?
I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do with him.
Josh Brolin, did he come off kind of weird to you, or what did you think of him?
Didn't really feel either way about him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he was only a couple seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't really enough.
Well, it was weird, you know, I didn't know much going into this movie. I just assumed Thanos would be the villain. I was kind of I was a little shocked that it was, that the villain was Ronan. Were you familiar with him before the movie either?
A little. Yeah. I knew the name, that was about it.
Yeah. I mean, Nebula was pretty good in it. That's another thing, man. Karen Gillan, whom I love, she did a pretty good job as Nebula. I don't know. Man, it's just something about all the, even all the bit characters in it with the Nova Corps, they, like you said, they were well handled as well because they could have been unlikable.
Oh, easily. Easily. Yeah.
No,
they
even.
They could have basically put the brakes on the movie.
Especially Glenn Close. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, honestly, it really could have slowed down the movie, but it didn't.
Yeah. That's true. Man, it's a little something for everyone, whether they're a longtime Marvel freak or they just want to just see a movie that's just fun and just nothing but just sheer entertaining.
I think that's all it wanted to be. And it will.
Did I lose you again? Whoa. It did it again. Damn Skype. It did the hang-up sound. Well, I agree with you there, Almighty. I would like to have seen a Rich Rider Nova. Still shows that we're on.
I hear you now.
Oh. See, it's weird, too, because it makes the hang-up sound.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, too, and then it comes back. It's
fucking
weird.
Skype.
Odd.
Well, man, I'm bummed about Matt not being able to make it in, that little punk.
I'm willing to bet that's what's going on.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
He's not. Well. Just tell him to shoot me a message on Facebook and let me know he's alive.
What I may actually, mine seems to be working fine. What I may actually do is switch him up here. Mine seems to be working fine.
I mean, sure, but we want you here, too, don't you, unless you got stuff to do.
No, I'm good. You have stuff to do. What are you kidding?
Oh, man.
What are you, crazy?
I just don't believe Matt liked it that much anyway.
Nah, I think he's lying. I think he's full of it.
You think he hated it?
No.
He thought it was silly.
He raved about that thing. He raved about it.
He's a prejudger in reverse.
He is a prejudger. Yeah. No. He raved about the thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys called it. I kind of thought going late, I got a little excited, and now I'm really like, I don't know, what do we do? We haven't, I guess we sort of spoiler some stuff, so it doesn't matter. What the hell? I heard weird music. Oh, is that me? No, I hear the... Oh, okay. It was a site when I looked at with the.
Oh, okay.
I think the James Gunn thing. Oh well, that's pretty cool. Though. I appreciate that. That was, I mean, everyone said that was Warlock. I was like, well, I didn't even see it. But now it wasn't in the last scene. It was in the other one. Now, Almighty, I'm with you. I would like to have seen the Nova or the Rich Rider Nova, but they didn't have Nova powers anyway. But, again, devil's advocate, you know, the Nova Corps, you know, I love the old Nova comic, but let's face it. We just have to be honest with ourselves, Almighty. They're really a blatant ripoff of the Green Lantern Corps. They really are.
Green Lantern.
They really are a ripoff. Yeah, I mean, it's just the whole concept. And back, no, look, and that's not just a fan saying it. Look, I love the Nova comic. Marv Wolfman, who created Nova, admitted it. He went to Marvel and wanted to do a Green Lantern type thing, and yet they wanted a young. They, at the time when Nova was created, they wanted a character to, you know, they wanted to try to duplicate the success of Spider-Man, a young superhero, you know. And Nova, sure, love the comic. I love Richard Rider. Just saying that I don't mind them converting them just to much space cops in this case, because I mean, again, they're not that I would have been cool to see them flying using their powers too if they had done that way. But I don't even know what the reasoning for it. But it's not something I'm angry about or anything like that, which is rare for me. It's nice. It's, you know, it's kind of nice to come away from a comic book movie not being pissed off about anything.
It is, isn't it?
I'm not sure when this happened last. What am I talking about? Captain America. In fact, that's two this year.
Yeah, so that is.
That's three for you and two for me this year.
Two, three. I like that.
That's what I'm saying. You have three comic book movies you like this year. I have two. I think I lost you again. Wow, did the old blackout noise again. Well, we'll give Carrie a chance to for his Skype to come back on, because it's just weird. His Skype is shows he's still on there. We'll see. It'll come back on in a second. When it comes back on, he'll let us know.
I'm back.
There you go. Weird. You heard me? Could you hear me all the time?
Nah, I can hear you. I just hear that little annoying Skype thing, and it's like
yeah.
Problem with the connection and. And then it comes back like nothing happened.
Yeah. Now, do you realize that is three comic book movies this year that you liked?
I know.
Two is a high number for me. I have two. You have three. So that's weird.
I haven't been to a lot of movies this summer. So far it's worked out pretty good for me just so far.
I can't think of anything else I want to see.
I can't either. I know I'm getting suckered into this Ben Affleck movie that's coming up.
What's that?
I don't know. Something about whether he killed his wife or not. I don't know. It played right before. It was on the front of Planet of the Apes. And my wife is sitting there just completely reactionless to every trailer, because Matt and I discussed this. We saw the trailers in front of Guardians, and every one of these movies looked the same.
Yeah.
They all looked the same. Hunger Games looks exactly like The Maze Runner, and The Maze Runner looks exactly like this. And
there? Well, I think we lost them again. And then it does the hang-up thingy again. Weird. It'll probably pop back in a few seconds. I'm going to try to get another line here. Sorry about this, guys. Sorry about everyone listening on the archives. We're just having some weird Skype issues. Damn it. What the hell? Tell you what I'm going to do. Doesn't feel like it's coming back this time. I'm going to, what am I going to do? I'm going to play play a bit of music for a second here and then reestablish the Skype line. This one's for you, Rick, since you're cool enough to be here tonight.
You there, bro? Flash. Problem with this call. Hold on while we try to get the call back. Weird. What a friggin' Skype. Damn it. Sorry, Rick. I could have kept the song going. I thought I had I had flashback for a second. Flashback. Try one more time here. You hear me this time? Hey, man.
Yes, I do.
Do you do your show via Skype, by the way, or for a landline? Good, you're better off. I do mine Skype, unfortunately, but, well, there you go, because you'd be in trouble with that thing. Might just be something going on tonight, though. No, crap. Did lose you again, did I? Flash. Savior of the universe. Could be their internet. I guess I'll just vamp it. Let's see if it comes back on. Let's see here. It's showing that he's still on there. Man, we're having nothing but glitches. Well, we're having nothing but glitches here tonight. Let's see, now I lost Flash again. I had Flashback and then I lost BTR. This sucks. Nah, I mean... Hornet dialing music there can't hurt, though. Damn it! I'm sorry, dude. I really am sorry about that. Sorry, everyone. Sorry,
we're
Rick.
Sorry. We're sorry. We apologize.
It's Skype. It's such a pain in the ass.
You know, I've never had trouble with Skype until tonight.
Really? I mean, I'm guessing that Skype mine's working.
Hey,
yeah,
we got some
weird.
Cool background music playing. You hear that?
Oh, yeah. I like to leave it on in the background a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
It seems legit. Makes it seem like we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Well,
it makes it seem like we're part of, you know, some morning drive.
I don't think anyone thinks I know what I'm doing ever. But, you know. I mean, well, unless I... No, they don't. There's just no hope for it. And it's a damn shame, too, man. We didn't have Matthew. We didn't have... We weren't online half the time, and people are going to listen to the archive and think, what the fuck? Well, on the archives, go ahead.
I did talk to him.
You there? Wow.
Hello?
You. Oh, you hear me now?
Yeah. There's like some static he keeps cutting in or something.
So you did talk to Matt?
Yeah, he is having difficulty.
He is
having difficulty.
Shit.
He apologizes.
That's okay.
And he's bummed.
Damn, there's no way to call in at all then, huh? Because his Skype is down too, or what?
Apparently he's having problems maintaining an internet connection on his computer, even though we have internet. So I'm not sure what's going on.
Weird.
He thinks his router is jacked or something.
Crap. Well, tell him what... Tom, we'll definitely give him the chance to coddle going into the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to give him his own little soapbox.
If anyone is out there listening on an archive thingy, and you stayed with it, you know, the thing is, when you're listening to the archive, you can at least fast forward. You know, you can
like you do on my show.
Nonsense. Everyone does it on mine, though. Well, they would have to be actually listening at all to do it on mine. We know that's not happening. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not. Do you listen to your shows back when you listen? I mean, sometimes, like, go back and hear them in the interviews and stuff?
When I have to, if I need information from it. Otherwise, I can't stand myself, my own voice.
I always wondered, what is it about us? Because I hate mine as well, and I just thought mine's the most horrible thing ever. And then people say, no, everyone says that. I said, I know everyone says mine. And I said, no, dummy. They said, everyone says their own voice is the worst. What is it with that?
I don't know. It sounds much different than what we hear. My voice sounds nothing like what I hear when I'm speaking.
Yeah.
And then when I listen back when I have to, I'm like, Jesus Christ, my accent is thick.
Yeah, there's the thing. We hear ourselves so differently.
Yeah. Like, I hear myself speaking the Queen's English right now.
I do too, though. I hear you perfectly.
You know what I mean? I hear Westminster Abbey coming out of my head right now. And when I listen back to it, I hear Mayberry RFD.
I don't hear an accent with you at all. Now, I'm very self-conscious about my shitty accent because I'm from the South.
Yeah. When I speak, I hear James Earl Jones. When I listen back, I hear Gomer Pyle.
Oh, Shazam. I am very self-conscious about having an accent because I know I do because I'm from the South, but
yeah.
I don't – I've worked not to have one, but that's not what really bothers me. It's the actual horrible tenor of my voice that I fucking hate. And I hear other people talk, and I'm like, I wonder if everyone else is like that about their own voice.
Everyone.
Everyone is, huh?
Everyone hates their own voice.
It's weird. And why does that have to – who decided that would be the – I don't know. What weird cosmic fates decided that would be the case?
I don't know. I always thought it was just my wife that hated the sound of my voice, but I hate it too.
But see, you know what? I'm serious.
Because many times she said, I can't stand the sound of your voice.
Yeah, but I think that's all wives.
Exactly.
Although politicians and actors don't hate the sound of their own voice. They love it. Politicians like it.
Real quick, back to my wife. We were watching the trailers, and she had no reaction to any of the trailers.
Yeah.
Because like I was telling you, they all look the same.
Right.
Hunger Games looks like The Maze Runner, which looks like this, which looks like that. They all look like a CW version of Logan's Run.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And, like, all these movies look like Logan's Run with teenagers in it.
Yeah, the movie's teenagers.
And they're all based on the best-selling novel and all this.
Those young adult books.
Yeah, exactly. They all look the same because they are all the same.
Young adult novels, yeah.
Yeah. So then a trailer comes on for some Ben Affleck movie where he did or did not murder his wife. It's not real clear in the trailer. And then as the trailer ends, I hear her go, cool. And I'm like, shit.
Wow, that's rough, dude. You have to sit through a Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope, in fact, because of that, I feel your pain, so I suggest that after that you swear off all Ben Affleck movies, and especially in the year 2016, no Ben Affleck movies for you.
He's off the list.
You'll be better off.
He's off the list.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like he's in any movies that interest you anyway. So
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, you're fine. He's not going to play Daredevil again, so you're – actually, he is, isn't he?
Pretty much, yeah.
Have you seen that stupid – it looks like the one scene that they did show of him in Super Twerp, it looked like Dark Knight Returns. I mean, it looked like the Dark Knight Returns Batman thing, so – I mean, costume. And I saw some pictures the other day from that, by the way, with a bunch of destruction.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, it's supposed to have some destruction in superhero movies. But it looked like – I'm like, wow, wait a minute. I know – there's no way that even if he's wearing that exoskeleton armor shit fighting Superman or whatever, that it's going to make that much damage. So who is he supposed to fight – who is Super Thing supposed to be fighting in this movie? I mean, we know? Is it going to be like random monsters like the Avengers did or what? I mean,
I don't know. I know Lex Luthor's in it. I can't really see him doing a bunch of damage.
Not with that guy, Luthor.
There was a big rumor that for a while, but I think it died, that Doomsday was in the movie, but I think it died off.
Couldn't fit with all the cameos.
Yeah, there's no room for Doomsday.
Who's going to slug it out with? That's a weird thing, because Batman doesn't want him to wreck Gotham. Did you see that thing online? One of those Facebook memes that had them texting each other or some shit, and he says, well, Superman says something like, you know, I could come to Gotham right now. I said, no, stay there. I'll meet you. Yeah, but I can get there months. Yeah, I saw what you did in the last city.
Speaking of Superman.
Yes?
Have you seen the trailer for this documentary coming out called The Death of Superman Lives?
I did not watch the trailer yet. I just assumed the thing was out already. But I know what you're talking about. I know it's
Nicolas
Cage. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, I've got to see this thing. Yeah,
When's it coming out?
I'd have to look that up. I'm not sure. But I've seen pictures of Nicolas Cage in the prototype Superman costume.
Right.
They were like fittings. But in the trailer is actual test footage of him landing as Superman. And it's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, really? Wow.
It's hysterical. It's hysterical.
Do you see
but there's a sick, twisted part of me.
That wishes it got made.
That wishes that movie had been made. at first, I'm like, good. Thank God. Thank God they killed this thing. But now there's part of me, it's like, damn, I wish they'd have made that thing.
Eat your heart out, Superman 3.
God, now I want that movie so bad. I want it so bad.
It'd be funny if they did film like chunks of it, or you could at least more.
Yeah.
They didn't film much at all, right? Just tests and shit, right?
Just tests. But the tests alone are just worth the price of admission. They're just hysterical.
Oh my God.
Because
he's an
Cage looks like such a goofball.
you know,
when you put him in that costume and he still looks like a goofball, it's hysterical.
You have to have zero self-awareness to be Nicolas Cage and go, let's play Superman.
I think he's just so obsessed with playing a comic book character that...
Right, but I love Superman. I don't think I should play him. I mean, you know...
I don't know.
I mean... It's like Ben Affleck should have said, you know what, I shouldn't play Batman. Not because of the uproar. He should have just realized that he's not cut out for Batman, but.
His name has always been bandied about for years and years and
as
years.
As Batman?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's Nicolas Cage level silly. I'm just saying it's.
Yeah, I think he's, yeah.
Wow, Nicolas Cage. Could you see him? That's Superman. So, hey, sure, Lois. Let me go into this closet and change into Superman. Oh, I should have told you that.
We do know one thing. When Superman versus Batman does come up, I'm going to go on the record. It's not going to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, it's going to be Downers of the Galaxy.
That's what I'm thinking. But I don't know. I could be wrong because a lot of the complaints people had against Man of Steel was it was too dark and it wasn't any fun. Maybe they listened. Who knows?
It's Goyer in them. You know, the thing is, here's the thing, though, about that. You're sticking Batman in there, so you're going to have some dark. But, I mean, Nolan's Batman movies are, you know, relentlessly dark. I don't dislike, you know, I kind of like Batman Begins. I didn't care much for the second too much. The third one, you know, in other words, I don't really have a whole lot against them, but at least, you know, Batman's supposed to be dark. If you're going to stick Batman in here, you're going to have a lot. I can't see a lot of yuck-yucks. No, I mean, there'll be some forced humor, I guess.
Yeah.
And I can't see Superman smiling much. So, I don't know. I mean, there will be no joy in it for sure. Will it be entertaining? I don't know. I don't know about that, but yeah, it's not going to be Guardians of the Galaxy again. I'm not saying anything has to be, but man, I would like to see more movies try to be like, at least try to.
Yeah.
Look, for example, Let me tell you something. I think Age of Ultron I think you guys will certainly like it better than you liked the first one, probably, because it's going to be its own movie. Remember, the last Avengers had to clean up after five movies, and, you know, it was kind of, that kind of hurt it a little bit in the story
well,
department.
Plus, I was just really kind of tired of Loki.
Yeah, I agree. This time, and again, Matt likes Ultron, so that, you know, and Ultron is a great villain. So you have Ultron going for it.
At least we won't have a Loki pokey stick this time.
Right, no Loki's crap. You know, because I'm just a little tired of Loki at this point. In a way, I mean, he was, you know, Hiddleston's a great actor and all that stuff. But I mean, after a while, it's like we don't, you know.
I know, but he's become the Lex Luthor of the Marvel universe.
He did start. He was in the first issue of Avengers. So
yeah,
see that.
After you've had him in Thor, and then you'd use him again in Thor.
Yeah, it's about time.
I'm just tired. It's like when all the Superman movies use Lex Luthor.
Yeah, why not Brainiac? Why not Parasite?
Yeah.
Why not, you know?
Yeah.
Why not Toy Man and Prankster? Just kidding. Makes us piddle.
Yeah. Hey, before I forget.
Yes.
Let me ask your opinion on
something.
Yes,
sir.
And this is pure conjecture. I'm not saying give me the inside scoop. This is pure conjecture. Because as you and I have said, comic book shops are barbershops for geeks.
Yes.
We stand around, we talk, and we gossip. And, you know,
yes.
We like old hens, and we gossip. the Howard the Duck appearance.
Yes.
This is just, I just want your conjecture on this. Is that just a wink-wink, or do you think they floated a test balloon to see if Howard the Duck was viable again? Or do you just have no opinion?
Well, are you asking what if you, the why, if you think it was done for them like a trial balloon type thingy?
Yeah, let's see what people say about it. Let's start some conversations.
Because, you know, the infamy of the movie notwithstanding, it's still famous. In other words, let me tell you something.
Do you think they put their toe in the water to see if a new Howard the Duck movie was
worth
pursuing?
Yes, I do think that. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because, again, everyone makes fun of that for being the shitty movie that it is, but everyone's seen it.
Right.
I mean, there are people, without that movie, there's no way anyone who saw that and goes, it's Howard the Duck. I heard some of the people in the audience. There was a bunch of people that I talked to who were standing in line the other night when we see Guardians, and there were a bunch of relatively young people. I could have swore heard one of them say something like Howard the Duck. Well, you and I both know that's not because of the comic book by Steve Gerber.
Right. Right.
There was a short lived comic series. There were a couple of black and white magazines. And there's no way on God's green earth that, or Xandar, that anyone knows who the fuck Howard the Duck is outside of me and you and anyone who's read any old comics if they haven't seen that movie.
You're 100% right on that.
And so they stick him at the end of this one, a movie where if it bombs, oh, well, I wouldn't lose anything. If it succeeds, though, we already got a talking raccoon.
Right.
We can do Howard.
Right.
I think, yeah, and I think James Gunn is the kind of guy that we want to do, that would probably be the guy that would want to. I don't know, maybe not.
See, that's what I was thinking. I said this feels like a test balloon.
Or if we just put him in a movie. In other words, that might not be necessarily putting him in his own. They might want to put him in the next Guardians.
I think there's a reason for it. It was a little too,
And he was there with the collector?
It was a little obscure.
Yeah. Because why was he there? That was hilarious. That was perfect.
Yeah, I know.
That was beautiful. But yeah, it was a very good question that you asked. I truly believe that it was not just for the hell of it.
I think so.
I mean, maybe it was, but I don't know.
I don't know. I think there was an ulterior motive there.
And by the way, on Avengers, this has got to, even though I hate what they're doing with Ultron, whether it changes origin and stuff, it's going to be its own movie where the first one wasn't. And I'm hoping that it's going to be closer to Guardians in the sense that they try to have some fun with it. But with Ultron, you're probably looking at a bit of a downer. Not a bad, might be a great movie, but it's going to be downer.
Since we're playing the conjecture game here,
Yes.
With the recent replacement of Steve Rogers in the comic book.
Yep.
Do you think they've set the table in the Avengers movies for when Chris Evans leaves for Anthony Mackie to take over?
No. They don't have the guts. It's going to be they just signed the guy that plays Bucky to a, was it Sebastian Stan or something?
Yeah.
A big deal. So he's going to be, just like in the comics before, it was before Sam Wilson got it, Bucky was Cap for a while.
Okay.
That's what they're doing.
Okay.
And when they do that, it gets me goodbye. I like that guy. I never liked it when Bucky took over for Cap. I love the Falcon. I don't think he should be Cap. I want Steve Rogers to be Cap. Now, again, if Evans is leaving, maybe I'll watch them. If they can't do anything about it, it's better than recasting him, so I guess it's okay. But that'd be a bummer for me. But that's exactly what's going to go down, yeah. So that, which really sucks if you think about it, that means we're only getting two more movies with him as Cap?
I know.
That blows.
Yeah, it does.
I am looking – by the way, that's another thing. This concludes Phase 1, this Guardians film.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Phase 1. Right?
Yeah.
They're calling the first 10 movies Phase 1. So Phase 2 is coming up. We're supposed to get Black Widow, maybe. We're supposed to get a Doctor Strange. Maybe another Hulk. We're getting Ant-Man, your favorite.
Yeah, my favorite.
You can't wait.
Oh, man.
Look, you like the Guardians of the Galaxy movie with a raccoon. You never know. You might like Ant-Man.
I doubt it, but
you're going to have to watch it.
I don't want to be a filthy prejudger, so we'll see.
Please be a filthy prejudger. In fact, we're thinking about changing the show to the filthy
prejudgers.
Prejudger show.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Look, Almighty said a whole bunch of people echoed Howard the Duck in the theater when he was there, too. Yeah, people, amazing when you think about it, people knew who Howard the Duck was.
I never heard it.
But he said at his theater they did, and when I was there, I did, so there you go. But
yeah, that's cool, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
But, look, I've had people many times, just over the course of the years, mention Howard the Duck. And, again, there's no way they know who he is without the movie.
Yeah, there's no way.
It's all the movie. Because that movie ran on cable forever. That's where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I mean, my niece or something mentioned her 4-year-old my 4-year-old great-nephew. You know, he was watching Howard the Duck, and I said, really? That movie sucks. She said, yeah, but it was still funny. I was like, so people kind of remember it fondly, which is weird.
It's become a cult classic.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
But it's a cable classic. It's been run to death all over cable. Yeah, but, you know, hey, there you go. I'm telling you, you are totally barking up the right tree with that. It's going to – something – Howard's going to show up somewhere. I'm not saying his own movie, though. I don't know if they would go that far. Maybe Howard and Rocket and Raccoon will team up.
Pay to see that.
I'd love to see that.
I would pay to see that.
Howard and Rocket.
Just take my money.
Yep, I would watch that. Who'd ever thunk it?
I know. I know. I told Matt, I said, you know what one of the worst parts about Rocket, though, is that he's very distracting because he's so well done. I find myself just constantly staring at him. It's like, you know, there's other stuff going on the screen.
Right. But you know what? That's kind of the point of the character, because if you were actually around the character like that, you probably would.
Yeah.
That raccoon is standing up and talking. And he didn't even sound like Bradley Cooper that I've ever seen.
One of my favorite lines of the movie is when Rocket says, "What's a raccoon?" And he goes, "That's what you are, stupid."
Yeah. What's a raccoon?
That's what you are, stupid.
He appeared in some comics like in the 70s before he popped up in that Hulk issue. And then he popped up in that Hulk issue, and I was like, what the fuck? I remember seeing that cover. I'll never forget seeing that cover and not buying it because with shitty art, and there was a fucking raccoon on the cover. I admit it. I was a fanboy. What are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, well, are you shitting me? I mean, did you buy it? I don't even know if you saw it on the stand.
I don't really remember it.
I'll never forget that dumb cover. I was like, what the fuck is a raccoon? What the hell?
Oh, my God.
But you know what? Hey, again, everyone, by the way, before the stream runs out, everyone, I want to thank Almighty Sports Show for being here. Good to see you, buddy, as always. Football starting this week, man. Wow. We actually started Monday. Yeah, I'm losing, by the way, Almighty. I'm going to need to do a show with you about football pretty soon because I'm losing my mojo. NFL's pissing me off so much it's tough for me to get excited about it anymore. And I need to because Friday night the Saints start. So, and greatest American hero, Rick, thank you, buddy, for being here and all those listening out on the feeds. And everyone out there on the archive show, sorry for all the glitches. But I think we talked to, well, we talked about all kind of crap because we always go all over the place. But we definitely talked some Guardians. If you have not seen Guardians yet and you didn't mind us spoiling, go see it. And go see it, by the way. Another thing about the phase one, phase two things, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, phase two. Of those, what are you looking forward to? Are there any except for Ant-Man, are any of them stand out as far as you really kind of think they might be really good, something you might look forward to?
Probably the next Captain America.
That one. But as far as ones that haven't been done yet, though.
Oh, haven't been done yet.
Don't think Doctor Strange, that could be really good. It could be bad, too. But I'm saying that could be something really special.
That could be good. I forgot about that. As far as ones that we haven't seen already, yeah, probably Doctor Strange.
Yeah. What about Black Widow? Are you indifferent on that one?
Really indifferent.
Yeah. I'd watch it, but thing is, I've seen a lot of
I don't know if it's going to get me into the theater.
Well, I've seen a lot of people, you know, your son included, who is, clamoring for them to make, you know, female superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no one wants to sound like a sexist pig. You know, so I better shut up and not say it, right? I'm going to get in trouble for this.
Uh-huh.
I love, you know, in fact, I thought she was great in Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Uh-huh.
But she was... It's something I would not be opposed to watching, but quite frankly, she never had her own comic anyway. If they make it, I'll watch it. It's again, I'm not trying to sound like a... Look, I love Wonder Woman, and I wish that was one... And I know it's not, she's DC, not Marvel. That's something that should be done. I'm not sure if there's a Marvel character, female character, that I'm like, whoa, man, we've got to have a movie with her. And if that sounds like a sexist pig, all I can tell you people is this. When I started reading comic books, I was a child. And when you were a little boy back then, I'm sorry, all the comics were little boy comics. I mean, they were superheroes. All the men had all the titles that sell. There were great female characters that were in comics. A couple of them had their own series here and there. But when you're a little boy, you're going to buy Superman and Batman, and you're going to buy, you know, the Fantastic Four, which has, you know, or the Avengers. They have, in other words, but mostly when the single character titles, it's just the way a lot. I'm not, you know, not all guys, but I got to be honest with you. Even when I was in my early teens, if someone bought one, I bought a Wonder Woman here and there, but I kind of bought it when Batman was on the cover. As a guest. I'm sorry. Like, I know Matt, for example, he liked Dazzler. Of course, he wasn't around when Dazzler was coming out. He likes the character now. When that comic came out, we were like, that's a girl comic. I was in my late teens running a comic shop. I was like, Dazzler? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not
buying.
I was fine that these characters were in, that these female characters that I love were in these teen groups, teen books, but I really didn't. I mean, did you buy Wonder Woman? Did you buy any books that were the main character was a woman?
Nope. Girl's book.
Is that?
That's girl's book.
It sounds bad, doesn't it? But
it's not meant to. But when I'm 11 years old, that's girl's book.
It's a girl's book.
Girl's book.
And, like, I was running the comic shop with Dazzler was coming out. And forget the fact that I had shitty art, but...
When I was younger, I was sexist. I used to argue that the Bionic Woman was inferior to the woman. That's a true story.
Dude, her show was more boring than his.
That is true.
That show was boring.
She's not as cool. As
now, the Wonder Woman TV show was wonderful, but let's face it, we know why.
Yes, we do.
Anyone hearing this is going to think, it's not a sexist thing. I'm talking about the way you are when you're a kid. And now I'm just saying, look, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is one of my all-time favorite shows. I'm binge-watching it now. It's a brilliant show, a great show. And she's a great character. She's a great hero on there. So if there were a character of that caliber at Marvel that I thought could really carry her own movie, and by the way, Buffy has a great supporting cast there too, I would be fine with it. So if that, I'm just saying, when it comes to superheroes, in other words, there aren't people sitting around. These people are like angry now. Okay, it's a militant thing. They're not saying, you know, it'd be cool to see a Wonder Woman movie. They're just like, we are so sick and tired of the fact that there are more female superhero movies. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not worked up about it. Am I sexist?
I'm not worked up. No.
Because, dude, I'm telling you. You know what I'm talking about,
Matt
though, right?
Matt and I always use a line that Kevin Smith used in Comic Book Men.
Mm.
Walt manages the shop, and he won't buy any Barbies. Like, if people come in to sell Barbies, he won't buy them, even if they're dressed as Batgirl. And he's like, why? He's like, still Batgirl. He goes, still a Barbie. It's still a Barbie. So Kevin goes, girl toy, boy toy. So Matt and I say that all the time, right? Yeah, you guys don't want it. Yeah, they just don't care.
But see, there's the thing. They're talking about, like, they talk with anger, like, there needs to be more. And look, I'm not saying, it'd be one thing if I were advocating, look, this is stupid. You guys shouldn't make any female superhero. I'm fine with it. I don't care if they make it. I might even watch one.
I don't care either.
But they're mad because there's not a big, you know, demand, you know, there's not a, put it this way, let's face it. If they did a Black Widow movie, I don't think it would make a lot of money. It might. Wonder Woman?
It's a female James Bond. Black Widow's a female James Bond.
Right. Now, Wonder Woman has superpowers. That might, I mean, you think that would, I mean, she's more famous anyway.
I don't know. DC and Warner Bros. Have always been hesitant to do anything about it. Maybe they know something we don't.
But I think they should give it a shot with Wonder Woman instead of putting her in a Xena costume in this next movie. But even if they do that aside, they should try to give her a shot. I'm just saying.
I do know the animated Wonder Woman movie they did underperformed compared
right.
to the others.
And I liked it. I thought it was
so maybe
good.
They're like,
Right. So
that animated movie cost a hell of a lot less than a live action movie.
Right. And I think that's what they're saying. So I guess they're a bunch of sex pigs but everyone, who is it now? Listen. Oh, I'm trying to think. Matt put something out the other day where he said there's someone doing is it Marvel? What, it's not Marvel.
Oh, the Spider-Man thing?
No, something to do with a female superhero movie. He was saying that someone beat Marvel to it or beat DC to it. One of them got announced. There's a TV show, Jessica Jones TV show, coming up. Trying to think. It was some character who got announced for a movie that was a female character. I'd have to ask Matt. And I was like, really? So I guess, and if you dare, I mean, look, I'm telling you, if you dare to say, look, if you want to make that movie, fine. I don't know if it's going to make a lot of money. Well, it's because the world is horrible, evil, and sexist. I guess it is, but, you know, tell you about that. They're really up at arms about it, and just kind of, I'm uncomfortable even talking about it, because I'm just saying.
I'm not.
You're not? Well, that gets annoying either. I mean, a Black Widow movie?
It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. I mean, let's face facts, people. You want to call me sexist, you go right ahead. Let's face the facts. She's a bit player in the Avengers movies.
She was great in Winter Soldier. I thought she did a good job.
But she's still a bit player.
She was always a bit player. She never had her own series.
Exactly.
She shared a comic with Daredevil.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
She was
a bit player.
And she was in
Not
Avengers.
Not every character needs their own movie.
No. And superhero movies, just like superhero comics were. See, superhero movies are really just now. They've made them for a long time, but they're just now the end thing.
Yeah. They're just now almost a sure thing.
And they were superheroes were a boys club when, you know, they always were a boys club when it comes to comic books. And they're going to be a boys club with movies. I'm sorry. I'm not saying they shouldn't try it. If they made a Black Widow movie, I'd fucking go watch it. I would. I know you said you wouldn't care much. I'd go watch it. If it sucks, fine. But, I mean,
I wouldn't care about it, not because it's a female superhero. I just don't give a shit about Black Widow.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of that way.
Yeah,
too.
I just don't. Who gives a damn? Who cares?
Look, I love Wonder Woman. And
they could replace her. They could write the character out of the next Avengers, and I wouldn't give.
Yeah, I hear you. Look, I love Wonder Woman, and I love the Linda Carter show. But the thing is, I never really read the comic regularly. Even when I got old enough where I could buy a comic.
Yeah.
Nothing against her. There was never, in other words, I can't name you a time. Now, everyone loves the George Perez one when he revised the history and all that shit. Everyone will tell you it's sacrilege. If you say, oh, that was so great. I love Perez. It put me to sleep.
Do you know why I don't give a shit about Black Widow?
Why?
Because when you're a kid, I don't want to read a spy comic.
No. Me either.
What do I want to read this for?
She didn't have
one. I know. But she was always like in some spy story or something.
Yeah.
Because that was angle. That's like I never read Nick Fury because I'm like, what the hell do I want to read a spy comic for?
For a short time. Yeah. That's kind of true, too. I'm kind of that way, too. That's why, look, and Mike and I talked about it before. We talked about like the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm like, look, Nick Fury comics never sold for long. Never had any long
story.
Even when it had cool curvy art and cool Starenko art, I'm getting this for the art. But you know, I like Nick fine in the regular comics, but
it's still a spy book.
And there's the thing, it's a spy book in a universe full of superheroes and monsters and shit.
When I was a kid, there were two genres I was not going to pick up. I was not picking up a spy book, and I wasn't picking up a Western comic.
Yeah, and there weren't a lot of Western.
Because a Western comic is boring.
I did love Jonah Hex, but I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, but that's got some weird supernatural hero.
No, back then he didn't. He was just a Western comic, but I still kind of.
Did he not? Okay.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up Sergeant Rock.
Yeah, exactly.
I respected it because I loved the
cares.
I didn't buy Haunted Tank, and that was kind of a super. There were a lot of those comics that are. I mean, I respect them now because of the artists and things like that, but genre, I was like, you know, the war comics don't really do anything for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, and the thing about Wonder Woman, I mean, I love her, but other than that Perez run that everyone loves, and they talk about other ones, like, for example, I could tell you, man, I tell you what, the best years for Batman, or that best run on Superman, or that best run on Spider-Man, or FF or whatever, and you could name, you know, various points in history with whichever creative team and go, yeah, man, those were the days when that run on X-Men there, Claremont and Byrne, or Miller's Daredevil. People will do that with Wonder Woman. I can't. I'm just like, man, look, I love her, but I can't give you a time where I go, her comic was great.
Even my sister, who I've often told you this story, 70s, I would get $1 each week to buy comics. They were quarter.
Yep.
And, of course, my sister, Monkey See, Monkey Do, she would buy comics, but not superhero comics.
Of course.
She never bought Wonder Woman.
Archie and stuff like that, maybe.
Yeah, but she never bought Wonder Woman either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, little girls weren't buying comics back then. That's why her comics were sold.
Yeah. She got Casper and Hot Stuff and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we bought superheroes.
Yeah, but even my sister didn't buy Wonder Woman.
No. Look, there was a time. Let me tell you something. Back when I first started buying comics, at that point now, looking back on it, Wonder Woman. They couldn't find any way to sell the damn comic. So they put her in the Emma Peel outfit for a while.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
She looked like this. And then I remember, you know, when I started seeing it on the rack, you know when I would buy it? Because they had her, like, they had, like, a square, her a picture of her doing something inside of a square box. And a superhero like Batman, Superman, whoever, Aquaman, whoever it was, saying, "What this month, Wonder Woman's doing so." And that was to make dumb boys buy it. Because they thought Superman or Batman was going to be in it. Look, that was for a number of issues too. Like a good while, they're like, "So we got to do something." Now, what's buying this goddamn comic?
Yeah.
And
hasn't that book been canceled 1,000 times?
Oh yeah. It was certainly after the Bronze Age it was.
Yeah.
It's one of those comics that started out with like number one like 20 times or something, it seems like.
It just doesn't have any readers.
No, and they keep making it, and they keep pushing it, and if you don't, and if you say anything like, look, I'm sorry, it really doesn't sell, you're just a sex pig. Well, I'm a kid. When I'm buying comics, I'm seeing that rack. I have no problem with the female characters in the team books, but I really didn't.
Yeah.
You know, looking into I'm buying Legion of Superheroes and the Fantastic Four, and I'm buying Avengers, and they have females in them, and that's fine. But
I get a pass.
Yeah. You're just a pig. And again, I see Matt did it, and I see other people did it. And you'll see this sort of like this belligerence when people say, fucking movie, Hollywood's horrible. They won't make movies about female superheroes. They're going to make movies about things that make them money.
Now there's talk that Ghostbusters 3 will be an all-female
They're
cast.
Out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that too. What do you think of that?
I think Ghostbusters 3 is a pipe dream and you should just give up on it.
Or it's going to happen when it's so... Look, they're so old. If they'd done it like 10 years later, it'd be one thing. Now it's pathetic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you think of them? Yeah, but I could see them doing that with a girl. With all women. And
I could see it.
I wouldn't go
I
see it.
I could see it happening.
I wouldn't go watch it.
Yeah.
I have no interest in that. I'd rather see a 90-year-old fucking Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray walking around. And great, you guys, wait till Hal Ramis is gone. That's brilliant.
Well, don't even get me started on that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have a real problem with Bill Murray anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just
really?
Seems like he's so above everything, and I'm Mr. Independent Movie now, and I thought he said some pretty shitty things to Aykroyd indirectly, apparently Aykroyd gave him the script for Ghostbusters 3, and then he was on a talk show, and he said, it's on my coffee table, I haven't even read it, and it's like, I gave it to you 3 months ago. You don't have time to pick it up? I don't know. He just seems like an ass.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just seems like an ass. Yeah. Anymore. I mean, you know, he used to be cool. I used to really like him. He just seems kind of a dick now.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys
seems rather self-important.
Well, he's the reason there never was a Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, because he's Mr. I'm so above all that now.
Yeah, and so
I'm going to go make my 50th movie with Wes
Anderson.
Yeah, me and my buddy, my BFF Wes, are going to go make another movie that nobody will see and
we'll
lose money, for the studio. But somehow we keep getting these things made. Have you seen those movies he does with Wes Anderson? They're terrible.
I kind of liked a couple of them, but I hear you.
You
don't like those? You're not an Anderson fan? I kind of liked Rushmore for some reason.
Yeah.
He did one called, what was that thing? You did a Jim Jarmusch, that's another one. Movie. That if you don't like his movies, you're a moron.
That's another problem I have. What do you mean you don't like it?
The Snoopy one?
I guess you like Transformers.
Yeah. I mean, I admit I like
I don't like Transformers.
I've liked a couple of Wes Anderson movies, but after a while, I mean, here's the thing. My thing about this, they're all the same. He's one of these guys, if you watch three of his movies,
yeah,
they're
all the same.
They're
the same movie.
Different settings, but they're the same movie.
And like you said, there's a snottiness about it.
Right.
That's like when people look at me like I have a third eye when I say Citizen Kane sucks. you get these art school people,
God.
Like, oh, how dare you? And it's like, it's awful. God damn it, it's so boring.
I get that with 2001. I know that's sacrilege.
Dude, I'm the same way. I think it's boring.
I get people pissed off because when they get on me about how stupid I am, I go, well, look, you never did LSD, all right?
Sorry.
I mean, I guess if I did acid, that would be an exciting movie.
I don't get that movie either.
It's a 4-hour classical music video.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't get it. And I'm in the same camp you are with Blade Runner. I'm not the biggest Blade Runner fan in the world. Dude, I get a dirty look over that, too.
Oh, my God. Sci-fi fans, geeks are the worst. I went to see that in the theater. I couldn't wait to see that in the theater.
Yeah.
You know, because I was seeing Star-Lord.
Harrison Ford was red hot.
Hell, yeah. I could. And I went, and look, I was a kid. Shit, I was 18 years old. Well, yeah. Maybe if I need to watch it again now. But I watched it, I was like, it just didn't really do much for me. And for years, no one said a shit about it. And all of a sudden, as the years went by, people were like, you don't like Blade Runner? What the fuck's wrong? I attempted to just lie to people. So, yeah, it's the greatest thing. I love it. Leave me alone.
I think it's boring.
It really is. But...
Sorry.
There are a lot of movies like that. And by the way, I love some movies that people think are boring too, so that's why I kind of make the pass. And I'm like, look, for some reason, I don't mind a movie that's slow or anything like that if it's fascinating or interesting. But sometimes I don't like the movies that I'm supposed to like. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean. You're supposed to like this.
Now, I can respect some of them. I actually respect Blade Runner, and I respect 2001, and I respect Citizen Kane. I just don't really, this movie's, I don't really hate them like I hate some stuff, but I just don't, I don't know,
I don't even respect Citizen Kane.
Really?
I get that all the time, like, you need to respect it. I'm like, why do I need to respect it if I didn't like it?
Yeah, you don't have to. No, that's the thing, you don't have to. I'm saying I respect it because when I say I didn't hate it like you did, I'm just sort of like, no. I just don't see the big deal in it, but everyone seems to love it so much. I probably couldn't tell you the first thing about Citizen Kane anymore. It's been so long.
I would be curious to know how many people put Citizen Kane on their best movie list, but
everyone does.
Seen Citizen Kane.
Oh, God, you think?
Oh, I guarantee you there's a ton of them out there.
Really? You mean they put it on there?
Shit, yeah.
And they didn't see it?
Didn't see it. Now, I'm not talking about critics that get paid. I'm not talking about They've seen it. I'm not talking about like a Richard Roper or Roger Ebert. Of course they've seen it. But with the age of the internet, when anybody can be anything, I can put a blog up right now and be a film critic if I want to.
Right.
Nothing's stopping me. There's no degree you have to have. It's not like you have to, go to an undergrad course to get a degree in being a film critic. Anybody can be a film critic. I can do it right now if I want to. And I'm saying there are people out there, bank on it, who put it on their best of list who've never even seen it. Because it's the right thing to say. It's the right, everybody
else says it. Why can't they just admit that they hadn't seen the damn thing?
Exactly.
I guess you're supposed to see it. I'll tell you, I think if you're in film school or something, you should see the certain movies, whether you like them or not, you should see them. And know a certain bit about filmmaking, that I can see if you go, because I know people who go to film school. Listen, I have a couple different friends, and they've told me stuff like, I was in this one class, and there were these people who'd never seen Star Wars. And I'm like, you know what? If you're going to make movies and you've never seen Star Wars, I don't even relate to that. I mean, if you don't have to like Star Wars, but Star Wars.
Who hasn't seen it?
Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind and Star Wars and... I think if you probably see some of the, I think it's sort of like, I'll use a sports analogy. I love football, in the football, but I'm like, if you want to be the best football player, I think you should probably know a little something about NFL history and the greatest player. The greatest player. Same with baseball. That's your thing. If you're going to make movies and you don't even know anything about movie history, I have actually met people that never saw Star Wars, and I don't get, snooty about it, but I'm like, right, that's weird. You never saw Star Wars?
That's odd, yeah.
If they don't like it, that's fine, but I'm like, man, you didn't even seen it?
I can understand you haven't seen, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, but not Star Wars.
Yeah. And Citizen Kane, I'm trying to remember if I even sat through it all. Now that you start talking about it, I'm like, I can't really remember, to be honest with you.
I was kind of forced to sit through the whole thing. It was
recently, though.
No. This was high school.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The '80s. I know. It used to come on all the time.
Yeah, this was high school.
Huh.
I don't remember why.
And look,
but then, But then somebody told me, well, you were forced to watch it. Well, yeah. Well, do it by choice now. I'm like, okay, well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe it's because I was forced to watch it. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it again. I'm like, no, it still sucks.
No, I almost want to go back and watch it. Like, it just because I can't remember much about it.
If you've got insomnia, it's an awesome cure.
You think the people who legitimately think it's wonderful, or they just don't want to? You think they literally people who are afraid to say it's bad, or afraid to say they don't like it?
I read an interesting blog from a film critic. I think it was in Film Threat, who said it's okay. It was like it was done satirically, confess your sins. They were like, it's okay. It's all right. You can say it's terrible. It's okay. You can say it's overrated. No one will judge you. No one will take your credentials away. It's okay. You can still have a job tomorrow as a film critic if you just admit it's one of the most overrated movies in history. It's okay. And it's actually a really funny piece. If I find it, I'll send it to you. But I think there are people who bullshit about it, and I'm sure there are people who really love it.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't think I've ever sat all the way through Gone with the Wind, and that was surprising for you. I mean, I was bored with it. I'm sorry. I was a kid, though. Used to come on all the time, I'd sit through all 8 hours of Wizard of Oz and love it, but, man, fucking Gone with the Wind, all 20 hours of that sucker, I was just dying.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was for chicks, to be honest with you.
It's a total chick movie. It's a total chick flick. It's not sexist.
Yeah.
Even women admit there are things chick flicks.
Yeah. And then they say there's stuff that are guy flicks, too. So, I mean,
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I guess a Schwarzenegger movie is a guy flick.
Right. That's true.
A guy flick. Commando is a guy flick. That's a guy flick. That's something you watch at 3 o'clock in the morning in your underwear. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Eating half a box of Twinkies while you watch Arnold.
Yeah.
And you know it's a terrible movie, but you still sit there and you still watch it. But we're not going to sit there at 3 o'clock in the morning in our underwear watching Thelma and Louise.
No, that's one I've never sat through.
It's a big flick. That's why.
There are certain movies. Yeah. There's certain movies. There's no way that I will ever that are total chick flicks that I don't know one guy that's seen them.
No, I will sit there, as we said before, at 3 o'clock in the morning in my underwear, eating one Twinkie after another, watching The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Oh yeah,
for the 500th time. But I'm not gonna watch Sophie's Choice. Sorry.
Shit on that.
Not watching. Not interested.
Now, of course, you'll watch Twilight.
In my underwear eating Twinkies.
I've watched the riff tracks of that, but yeah.
See, now everybody thinks all I do is sit around in my underwear and eat Twinkies and watch, Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
None of that's true, everyone. He also sits around in his underwear and eats Hostess fruit pies because Hostess fruit pies can stop any supervillain.
That's right, they can. They can.
And Twinkies did too, but really, Hostess fruit pies.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah, they had, remember those old ads?
Loved them.
Anyone who gets that reference is old.
They're an old timer.
Some guy put them online, by the way.
They're an OG.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was I want to see a Marvel movie where one of the heroes just throws a Hostess fruit by one of the villains.
It takes the OGs to remember the Hostess ads and remember the Army Men. You could order like a bunker, or you could order like a Foot Locker of Army Men. Were you stupid enough to do that?
Which ones?
Out of the back of a comic book, it was like. It was supposed to be a Foot Locker that came with like Army Men. And yeah, I ordered it.
Oh, I never ordered it. I just saw it on.
Let me tell you a bedtime story. I saved my money to get this thing right because it was in every issue, in the back of every damn comic book,
yep.
Right? And I'm like, I have to have this. Look at this. Look at this. You get all these soldiers, and you get tanks, and holy shit, you get jets and trucks and you name it. And there's, like, barbed wire, you know, fences that you can put your guys behind. I'm like, I saved my money. I got this thing, which wasn't a lot of money. You know, it was a couple of bucks maybe. And I got this thing, and they were flat plastic. They were like flat pieces of plastic shaped like army men. And the army men were bigger than the tanks. And even as a kid, I was so pissed off that I threw it.
What?
I threw it. I didn't play with it. Pissed off. I got ripped off. I got screwed. I'm like, I remember as a kid thinking, I just got hosed. I just got screwed. I just got suckered. This guy is bigger than this truck. Because they were all the same size. They were all, like, cut out of the same, you know.
Wow.
Man, they were literally flat plastic.
They had some rip-offs in the back of those fucking comics. You know, if you ever look at those old comics ads, how there's, like, 4 billion of them on each page. Little bitty microscopic. Whoever, I used to wonder, even as a kid, like, who orders any of this stuff? I wanted to a couple times. I don't know if I ever ordered these. I mean, I didn't even order Sea Monkeys.
Sea Monkeys.
Sea Monkeys.
Brine Shrimp.
But, dude, they had a million fucking... Look at those old ads. They're fascinating because they're so small. Like, wow, God. What is Marvel and DC getting for these fucking ads? And who's ordering it? They're all these little fly-by-night companies, I guess.
Yeah, who's ordering it? Me.
You only ordered the one thing, though, right?
I think so.
And see, though, but that... I guess that was it. I guess you didn't order any Charles Atlas stuff, did you?
No.
Remember those ads? Those were hilarious.
No. Even I wasn't that dumb.
Those ads were great. They're so friggin' stupid.
I know.
Oh, my God.
But I do remember you would see that little bit of awesomeness. Like you know, you would get, like, the Star Trek landing party kit.
Yeah.
You would have a phaser, communicator, and a tricorder.
That was
an awesome kit. I never got to order them, but I have a feeling they were probably just absolute junk.
They were, you know what they were, right? They were made by AMT, the ones who made the models, and so they were made out of very thin plastic.
Ah.
And they're worth a shit ton now for that set.
Yeah, because they probably don't exist anymore because they're so fragile.
They were fragile, if I remember right, because we had one.
I remember I wanted so badly the Spider-Man medallion. You remember that?
Oh, shit. You didn't get that? I didn't either.
I didn't get it, but I wanted it. I wanted it badly.
Oh, shit. I wanted all that shit that they had, all the T-shirts and stuff.
All right, let's see how original gangster you are. Do you remember the model kit of Spider-Man webbing up Kraven the Hunter?
I've seen pictures of it. Did
you
have that?
I wanted that, too. No, wanted it.
I only had the Batman one, and I only had the Superboy one. Those old Aurora model kits. Oh, my God. That Spider-Man one you're talking about is old.
Oh, yeah. That's at least 70s.
Yeah, it was the 60s or 70s. Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, those were the days, man.
One of that.
Yep.
I think the only thing I would really order out of the books and be so excited and waiting for them to come would be, like, the treasuries.
Yeah. You ordered those? See, I couldn't order them. I had to just I ordered Amazing World of DC Comics and never got it.
Never got it?
No, sir. Most fucking bastards. I had to buy them at cons later.
Oh, man.
You could not get them on the rack. And I had to get my treasuries on the... You know, on the drugstore racks when I could find them. And then later at cons, the ones I missed. I have a big treasury collection.
Now, that's OG, what you just said, too. Drugstore racks.
Yes. Because spinner racks could...
That's where you got your shit. You went to the drugstore. You went to Rite Aid, or you went to...
We had K&B.
It was Rite Aid for me.
And the thing is, we had spinner racks, of course, but you couldn't get the big stuff on there. So you had to go to the drugstore, Eckerd's or K&B for the magazines and the like the Marvel mags or the Treasury editions.
Dude, I will tell you a funny story. You're talking about the magazines.
Yes.
I was walking by a in those days, I walked quite a bit. You know, when you're a kid.
Sure, sure.
And you don't have a car, you walk. You know what I mean?
Of course. Bikes.
Or you rode your bike. You biked it or you walked it. We generally walked or whatever. And I remember walking past a bookstore, and I could see through the window.
Now I hear you.
Okay.
I lost you.
I know.
Damn. All right. Well, it came back. I wasn't sure what happened. You were saying?
Oh, I walked by this bookstore. And through the window, I could see one of the Incredible Hulk magazines. You remember these?
Yes.
And, of course, I didn't have any money on them. They were, you know, my money was at the house, which we all know what that means at that age. That's the change in your secrets box. So
yes, I remember that. That's the secrets box.
I went back and I got my change, and I asked my grandfather, I'm like, can you drive me down to this bookstore? Because I didn't want to walk back. Sure. So he drives me down. I go in. I buy my Incredible Hulk, and I walk out, and I get in the car, and he goes, might not be a good idea for you to go in there anymore. And I'm like, well, why? And I had never noticed that in the window was some rather questionable magazines and books. And I wasn't allowed to go back in there anymore, so that was the only Incredible Hulk magazine I ever had.
That was that the one that, when it was in black and white, or when it started out in color? It was Rampaging Hulk.
It was color. It was color.
Yeah, when it started out, the magazine was in color. Yeah, the Rampage or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and it had Moon Knight in the back.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the Sienkiewicz Moon Knight. Yeah.
And I'm like, why is this, you know, in this store? And the Moon Knight story, I don't know if you remember this or not.
Yeah.
I remember it vaguely. There was an axe murderer.
Yep. He was killing nurses.
Killing nurses! Exactly! Holy
still have
shit!
It.
And it was the goriest stuff you have ever seen in your life. It was absolute gore.
Yeah.
And then I figured out why it was in that store. Because it didn't seem like something that a kid should actually be reading.
That was brutal to be in the back of the Hulk, because I remember that too. Buying that mag, I didn't know who Moon Knight was.
Was my first exposure to Moon Knight.
Mine, too. I didn't see him in Defenders that he was in before. So
yeah.
I was reading it. I was like, man, this art. And, of course, it was Sienkiewicz and his Adam's Rip phase. Mm-hmm. And they called this killer was wearing this weird mask.
Right.
He was Mark Spector's brother.
Right.
And he called them Starch White Sweets. That's what he called the nurses.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you remember that.
Oh, man, that is weird.
It was
weird.
Gory, right? I remember this correctly.
Holy
right?
shit, it was very bloody.
Gory. Yeah.
God, you thought, wow, this was fucked up.
It was
really
absolutely brutal.
Now, I don't know if it was a multi-parter, but I think I got the second part or something.
It was a multi-parter because of the issue I got, the story had already been going. Because I remember the first page was, and I believe it was Moon Knight's girlfriend that was hacked up.
Yep, that's right.
It was just the goriest shit you've ever seen in your life, and that was the splash page of him over her body screaming at him, and so, yeah, it was obviously a
that mask was disturbing.
It was disturbing.
But I remember thinking how cool Moon Knight looked.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something cool about his costume, and that was what got me interested in him a few years later when they did his own series. It was a direct sales comic. I started buying the Moonlight comic that they did in that. That's what made me read Moonlight comics, because of that story. Wow, isn't that weird that we both remember that? Jesus.
I know. It's so obscure.
It is obscure. But that was in the Color Hulk mag. I don't know how many issues he was into that one. But that was
I think that was the only one I owned.
You know what? It was one of the few I got, because I got it later in when it was in black and white. And by the way, did you know about the big controversial issue with the black and white Hulk mag? Because later that color mag went to black and white. Did you know about the what is considered to be a pretty homophobic thing that Jim Shooter did in an issue of that?
No.
Well, there's an issue where Bruce Banner is in the at the Y, and he's trying to take a shower or something. Two characters, two like hoodlums, come in there, and they talk like total like really bad gay stereotypes, mm-hmm. and they basically try to they're about to try to, you know what?
No,
they're about to try to rape him, and then he talks them out of it by telling them who he is. And the writing and the dialogue really offended. And back then, you know, it was just a lot. There was nothing like there was no such thing as political correctness. But there were some gay people who read it who were really, really offended by it.
No, I didn't ever heard of this.
Yeah, it was in a Rampaging Hulk mag. And if you read, I remember seeing that was. I was getting the Comics Journal, and I just got my first issue of Comics Journal when I saw that, and I saw the page and everything. I was like, I saw a big, big controversy going on over that. And I was like, I look at the writing, and I guess now looking, thinking back, I'm like, yeah, the stereotype was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The way they talked, were, I mean, it was pretty fucked up. And Jim Shooter.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
And then fucked, and again, you talk about how they had that blood in there, and this, they had, like, you know, a gay, an attempted, like, gay rape scene.
Mm-hmm.
In a fucking Hulk comic.
Wow.
They had no comics code.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
Well, the mags didn't have the comics code on them, I don't think.
Right.
I don't know if they were supposed to or not. I don't know if they were supposed to or not, but that's weird. Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what.
I could tell you there was no code just from that Moon Knight story.
Yeah, there was. I mean, no code had anything. Well, I don't understand why, because it was a Hulk comic, but yeah. They got away with a lot of shit, that and then Bizarre Adventures and a lot of other their other mags. So,
did not know that.
Oh, man. Well, dude, I'll tell you what. I wish Matt had made it. Tell him we'll rain check it, and when he can, we'll do a show. We'll talk some. We'll let him talk about Guardians. And, dude, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. Sorry about all the horrible glitches and stuff. That sucks, dude.
Ah, all right.
So,
made us tough.
Yeah, it does. Makes it. Yeah, man. Anyone listening on the archives, I really appreciate it.
Toughens your nipples, doesn't it?
It does. They are toughened. Oh, man. Well, I appreciate it, my brother. I want to thank you and everyone listening. I will see you next. We'll see you soon, hopefully next week or sometime if you guys can make it over.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right, my brother. Later, everyone. All right,
have
a good one.